Blog Talk Radio.
Gentlemen, December 11th, 14 shopping days left until it's Christmas time, and you're here for this week's edition of Whiskeyman Barbecue in the Pit. I'm your host, Chad Ward, coming to you live here from Lakeland, Florida, the Imperial Polk County, and looking forward to having you on for a great show tonight. We have three really solid guests lined up. We are going to kick this thing off guest-wise with Jim McCoyne. Jim has Big Daddy Q cooked for years, has now gotten more into the restaurant side of the barbecue and grilling business. Going to talk to him a little bit about that. Also going to talk to him about his big contest he has coming up. Florida Barbecue Association sanctioned down there in Fort Pierce called the Cowboys Pig Out Barbecue Competition. So not just a barbecue competition going on. We'll have the Professional Bull Rider Rodeo. There we'll have some top country music acts, and at the end of the day, anybody that's ever met Jim knows Jim. He throws a heck of a party and just likes to have a good time. So Jim McCoyne joining us around 7:15 tonight Eastern. Then we're gonna have the guy that I would say probably one of the hottest barbecue team in the Southeast, and that is the hardest barbecue guy. Talking about results, not attractiveness, Rob Bagby, Swamp Boys Barbecue. Rob goes up and wins the FBA Triple Crown this week in Perry, Florida. Good field, really strong field, really strong FBA field, extremely strong. And Rob goes out there, wins that thing, does a fantastic job, and takes that. So we're going to have Rob on to talk about that. Rubs also has a pretty awesome class coming up in March with himself and Dan Hicks and the boys from Three Eyes Barbecue, which just happened to be your KCBS Team of the Year. Awesome things this year. And then Rub has a couple other cool things going on up in Chicago, this and that. Maybe catch up with him on the Brazil thing, whatever. You know Rub, man. He's an ambassador of barbecue. Always good to have him on. You always find plenty of stuff to talk about. And he's just had a phenomenal year. And I like to get his count. He's got to have 2, 3, maybe 4 GCs towards that Jack Daniels Magic Number 7 already going into calendar year 2013. So be interesting to catch up with him on that. So Rob Bagby, always a great interview. Always a pleasure to have him on the show. He'll be coming and joining us around 7:40 tonight. Jim Dehaney already says he has 5 GCs. The count towards this this quote-unquote Jack year. So Rub wants to go back to the Jack, and he's going to do it the right way with the old number 7. So we will talk to him, like I said, around 7:40 Eastern tonight. Then we've got a new guest in the pit, J.D. McGee from Wine Country Q. Cooks out there in the Pacific Northwest Barbecue Association. These guys, they've been a two-time team of the year out there in the Pacific Northwest. You've got him and his wife cooking out there together. They made their first trip to the world this year. Also cooked the World Food Championships. So you know what we do when somebody's in the pit for the first time. We're going to talk to JD, get to know Wine Country Q a little bit, and then also get him to talk about a little bit about how they cook. I know he's a guy that I believe moved from low and slow to hot and fast, or maybe started at hot and fast. I don't know. We'll find out tonight. We'll ask all those questions. So looking forward to it. Three good guests. I think we'll have a great show tonight. Want to thank you guys for the listenership last week. Numbers came out relatively strong. We had two really good guests. We had Dana Hillis, Big Papa's Country Kitchen, on to talk about his battle at Barbecue Junction, along with Ernest Big Earn from Texas, just talking about everything. Cool, crazy, murdered out trailers, cooking for royalty, all the things that's the life of being Ernest Cervantes. So always good to have Ernie on kicking it with us. Real quick, before we get into the results for this weekend, I see him now in chat. I was wondering if he's going to be able to make it or not. And Doug Francis, as he's in a radioactive treatment sequester for 10 days. I want to tell Doug we're thinking about him because of his radioactive radiation. I think he's got a 10-day quarantine on him. So hope all things are going well, Doug. Hope you get hope it doesn't beat you down too bad. Hope you get to keep feeling better. And we look forward to seeing you soon, brother. All right, first thing I want to talk about is this event that if you're on Facebook and you follow a lot of barbecue guys, you have probably seen a slew of folks talk about King of the Smoker, the Sterling Ball BigPapaSmokers.com Invitational that he put together. So Sterling said, I'm going to invite what I consider to be the 24 top teams, some of them, maybe not, but in Sterling's eyes, and maybe for marketing purposes and different things, this and that, these are the 24 teams he invited. And they went out there and was pretty much no electronics, no nothing. You went out there, you were going to cook on good wooden charcoal pits. Meat was actually provided. They had a meat draw. There was 24 coolers, and you drew numbers, and whatever number you got, they took the cooler over to your cook site. Beautiful place there in California at a lovely resort. Just if you read any of the reviews of the teams, and these are guys that they only haven't just cooked 10, 20 contests. These are guys like Chris Lilly, like Rod Gray, that have cooked hundreds upon hundreds of barbecue contests. And they said, Tuffy Stone, I was reading today on Facebook talking about it. They said Sterling just went above and beyond for King of the Smoker out there. And once again, I mean, hey guys, I'll be perfectly honest with you. If the guy's going to put on that kind of a show, put up $50,000 in prize money, he can pick whoever the hell he wants to come out there. It's his contest. He's doing it. He's doing it the right way. And it just sounded super, super impressive. So anyway, we'll go over the, because it's 24-team contest, we'll just go over the top five overall. You had Big Bob's Gibson, Chris Lilly, 688, wins the contest. Rob McGee, Munchin' Hogs with the Hilton, is a little bit more than a half point behind that in second overall. Harry Sue, Slap Your Daddy, comes in about 2 points off the pace of GC. Rod Gray, Pellet Envy, comes in fourth. And Tippy Canoe Barbecue Crew comes in fifth. Joe Bielan had him on the show a couple weeks ago. Always good to have him on. Category-wise, first place chicken, Big Bob Gibson's Barbecue, 178.2. Ribs, Harry Sue, 172.5. Pork, Pellet Envy, 176.5. And then brisket, Dan Hicks and the boys, Three Eyes Barbecue, 176.5. So once again, if you want to go look at the results, you can catch them over on the KCBS website. If you just want to learn more about the event, you can go over to thekingofthesmoker.com and then also just check out what people are saying about it. People were just super impressed, and it seemed like really a first-class event. Anyway, let's move on to the FBA, how they finished up the weekend. Let's start with the Invitational there and Perry. So the Triple Crown, actually, let me click over one because I've got the open up right now. All right, Invitational. Invitational-wise, we have, as we spoke of, Rob Bagby, 771, which on an 800 scale, actually real damn close to 772. But on a 800-point scale here in the FBA, that's a really strong number. Getter Smoke, Terry McKay, finishing reserve grand. Third place, Jason and Papa Clark up there with Unknown Barbecue. Fourth place, Chatham Artillery. Fifth, Big Papa's Country Kitchen. Sixth, Bubba Latimer Barbecue. Seventh, Fort Allison, Great Lakes Barbecue and Feed Company. Eighth, Swanee River Smokers. Ninth, Munchie Smokehouse. And 10th, Jim Elser, Sweet Smoke Q. Let's go down the, well, it's pretty easy to talk about your chicken and your rib winner. It was Rob Bagby. Strong number in chicken, 198.5, and ribs, 192.3. On pork, Q Fused, 198.5, and brisket, Terry McKay, Getter Smoked, 196.9. So that is your Invitational results. Real quick, if we go over to the open, want to congratulate old LC over there at Cook's Portable Smokehouse. Is your grand champion. Second place, Dana Hillis, Big Papa's Country Kitchen. Third place, Brad K. out there, Lang Barbecue Smokers. Fourth place, Holland Butt Barbecue. Fifth place, Charlie and Haley, Smoking Your Butt. Sixth place, Thomas Henry, Budmeisters. Seventh place, Larry Johns, LJ Smoking. Eighth, Forrest Dillmore, Forrest Fine Foods. Ninth, Uncle Kenny's Barbecue. And 10th, Damon Woolley, Barbecue Mafia. Chicken, you've got Sweet Smoke Q, Jim Elser, 192.9 in the open. Ribs, Chatham Artillery, 193.3. Pork, shocker, Budmeisters, 196.8. And then brisket, old LC, he can always put a brisket on you, 193.3. So that is going to close out what we had there for the Florida Barbecue Association and what they had going on this year. 1 second, guys. I'm going to give you a little bit of music while I tend to something microphone-wise. I'm getting a little bit of feedback. So hold one. We will go with Jimmy Buffett, Margaritaville. That works. 1 second.
Nibbling on sponge cake, watching the sun bake. All of those tourists covered in oil, strumming my six string on my front porch swing. Smell those shrimp, hey, they're beginning to boil. Wasted away again in Margaritaville, searching for my lost sugar salt. Some people claim that there's a woman to blame, but I know it's nobody's fault. Don't know the reason, stayed here all season. Nothing to show but this brand new tattoo, but it's a real beauty, a Mexican cutie. How it got here I haven't a clue. Wasted away again in Margaritaville, searching for my lost shaker song. Some people claim that there's a woman to blame. Now I think must be.
All right, guys. No smooth transition there. Just done. Cut it. All right. Before we, I think we got it figured out. Rob Marion, I am a nerd. Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. Always a compliment coming from you. I appreciate it. So Real quick, I want to talk to you about BBQSuperstoreOnline.com. Rob and Mark over there are doing are doing a great job. If you're looking for that gift for folks, I had a sister-in-law ask the other day, you know, my brother-in-law likes to cook and grill. He's came out and cooked a couple of contests with us. He met Doug Francis at one of them. If you want any more about that information, just hit Doug up. He'll tell you a great story about it. But she said, hey, what should I get him? You know, I know he likes barbecuing and grilling, but I don't know all the details and this and that. So what I said was, hey, just go over to the BBQSuperstoreOnline.com and say just get him a gift certificate. Let him go out there. Let him figure out what he likes. Let him cook with it. And, you know, this and that. And so that's what she did. She went over there, got him a nice gift certificate. And it'll all work out, and he'll like it. Carrying a great line of products. I mean, they've got the stuff you expect them to carry, Butchers, Cosmos. They got the new Harry Sue Slap Your Daddy line of products. They've got BBQ rubs. Anything and everything that's out there, week in and week out, is doing a great job. So go over there and check those guys out. Also, if you're a friend of them on their Facebook page, you can actually buy off their Facebook store and save another 5% on those everyday low prices. So BBQSuperstoreOnline.com, check them out. These are cooks selling to cooks. They understand even right now when we're in that downtime, they're still going to get your order out fast because maybe it's for Christmas, maybe it's for a test cook, you know, whatever the case may be, they're going to take care of you. So go over there and see them, BBQSuperstoreOnline.com. Real quick, Blake, to answer your question, no, Dorsey Song did not open the show because I have still not received the MP3 file from Mr. Odell himself. So with that being said, let me come up and rise up Jim McCoyne here. Jim, what's up, Bubba?
Hey, buddy. How you doing?
Hey, man. Long time no talk.
I know. I was hoping to get to talk to Rub. Is he there?
You know what? Rub's going to come on about 7:40. Maybe I'll do a quick little commercial spot between you and him, and I'll let you give him a little bit of grief. How's that sound?
No, I'm teasing with you. He's a hero nowadays.
I'll tell you what, man, that guy's cooking his thing, his ass off. So,
yeah, I know.
Absolutely. And so, Jim, talk to me a little bit about, you know, it's hard to explain to people because I'm a big fan of guys that are cooks or half cooked. It's one of those things, like Damon Woolley up there in Swanee in the middle of the year. You know Damon's going to put on a good contest. Well, why? Because Damon cooks. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
He knows what cook teams want and this and that. And so I didn't have a chance when we were coming into competition barbecue, I think was about the time that you were moving out and starting to focus more on your kids, you know, on the new ventures on the restaurant side and this and that. But I've liked you from day one because I've always said any man that comes up to me with a 20-pound prime rib and says, hey, can you cook this for me? Hey, I'm gonna welcome that guy with open arms any day if that's the first introduction. And that,
that's a good way to meet, ain't it?
Absolutely. That was Hope Sound 2010. You and Jimmy Bro. Jimmy said, hey, I brought him over here. I knew you could cook it for him. And I'll tell you what, we wore out some prime rib and white bread that night, didn't we?
Yeah, that's good stuff.
Absolutely. So, Jim, talk a little bit about how you got into competition barbecue. How long you cooked? I know you cooked a lot of KCBS or a lot of FBA and some KCBS. Kind of what brought you to this crazy little hobby of ours?
Oh, I got into it. We had a competition here in town. I think I came in last place. I'm from Okeechobee, and I just couldn't understand how somebody, you know, could cook better than me. I thought I was the best.
Yeah.
And it, you know, everybody does. So I did a. I think the best thing a new cook can get is the magazine, you know, National Barbecue News.
Yeah.
Somehow I got hold of that, and I said, man, they got these things all over the place. I never heard of it back then. So I did another one, become friends with Jimmy. And I started about the same time Rub did. I remember Rub was on the Dixie Boys. He was like their helper, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Joby Staniland and
I mean, hey, we're on the internet radio, so let's just say what it was, Jim. He's a dish bitch.
Yeah.
I mean, he was exactly what it was.
Bitch.
Yeah,
that's right. They was beer drinking, but I remember he was just a helper. You know, he was just a guy, and it was my first contest. My trailer had just the FEC in it and two cots. I don't even know that I had a table. It was You know, back then it was nothing like it is now. Nothing. And become friends with Jimmy Brode and a few other ones. I can remember even Dana's first contest. It was in Sebring when he pulled up there with that crazy trailer he's got. That was his very first contest ever. But, you know, it was a long time ago. And it's come a long ways. But I liked it. The biggest thing, you know, I got out of it was the whatever that word is, were you buddies?
Camaraderie. Yep.
Camaraderie. Because it reminded me of going hunting and nobody brought any guns. Because it was just like, you know, hunting season when everybody gets together and in camps and does their thing. But you don't have to clean anything. And,
no.
You don't have to sit in the cold and all that stuff.
No.
So that's why I liked it so much. And
excellent.
I still like it. I just bought a 42-foot gooseneck and I'm fixing to deck it out and get on the road again.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, I got rid of the motor. I had a big motorhome and trailer.
Yep.
And what I didn't like about that, the guys that got motorhomes know, when you drive all the way to Alabama or Tennessee, then you're stuck at the site.
Absolutely.
If you got a trailer on. So I didn't want to do that anymore. So I bought a big Forest River with the sleeping, you know, the whole setup. And I'm having some work done to it right now, but I'll be heading out. After my contest, I want to start doing some contests.
Well, awesome, man. That's going to be good to see you back out there and shooting the breeze with you. So, no, that's super cool. We're looking forward to having you back out there, Jim. And I'll tell you what, everybody that's kind of in the FBA late night circle, we just lost another hour of sleep if McCoy's coming out to get down with us. So, but it'll all be in good fun, brother.
Maybe not me, but I talked to Brad Kay just yesterday, and we're talking about maybe cooking together some.
Oh, cool.
He's at one end of the world, and I'm at the other, and we're just talking. First time we ever talked about it, but I'd like to cook with him. He's a good guy.
No, Brad is a good cook, and he's traveled all over this place cooking and putting up good results, so I definitely can't knock you on that. If you were to go out and do it yourself, what do you think you start off cooking on? You go back to an FEC or what do you think?
Yeah, I got Cook Shack and I've been emailing each other here the last couple of days, so I think I got a new one. I got everything on my back porch. You know, I cook on everything there is.
Sure.
I just like the easiness of the pellets.
Yep.
You know, I mean, I got a stump on my back porch and I could cook on that and you know, I love the stump, but when it comes time for me sleeping and everything and being able to have a Bloody Mary, I like hitting the button and going on about my business.
Ain't nothing wrong with that, brother. So kind of as you were slowing this barbecue thing down, you started to, and another thing, not only did you give me a 20-pound prime rib to cook on Friday night, but then on our way out of town Saturday, you were nice enough to say, hey, stop by one of my restaurants and check it out. And we did. And it was absolutely awesome. So how did you kind of get to the whole Cowboy Steakhouse and that type of thing? Because I know a lot of people listen on here, and they always have the questions when I have Bubba on or guys like that have kind of crossed that competition barbecue line into restaurants. They love hearing a little bit about the story. And you know, would you say, hell yeah, go for it, or would you say, no, man, save your time and money and focus somewhere else?
If I was going to do it again, I wouldn't have a restaurant like I've got. My restaurants are, if you've been in them, you know, they're kind of like a Longhorn.
They're nice. They're upscale. I mean, it's nice dark wood. Everything's taken care of. And you can obviously tell when you look at it, Jim, just from a businessman point of view, that and go overhead and upkeep. And don't get me wrong, but when you go in there, you probably get $2 to $3 more than other places can get just because of the ambiance.
Right, right. But what guys like Bubba, you know, I've been to both his places up there. Guys like Bubba, and then there's another cook, FK and Cindy Whited. They've got a barbecue place that Dana used to be involved with. You know, these guys have got barbecue joints, I call
them.
Bubba's got barbecue joints.
Mm-hmm.
That has got to be a whole lot more fun than what I go through. You know, I've got chefs and I've got kitchen managers and I've got, you know, I've got, each place has 65, 70 employees. And it took the fun right out of it when I opened up multiple stores. My first store, when I just had it, it was me and my buddy running it, and I was cooking, and my daughter was cooking with me, and my nephew was over slicing ribs. That was fun.
Yeah.
But then when we went to four stores, and it took it all away. So I'm the kind of guy that likes to do things and do it big, and then, you know, I kind of get tired of it. So I'm in the tired of it part over here. I'm actually thinking of starting something up where I do a lot less. I don't have any waitresses, put it like that.
No, understood.
You know, it'd be more fun.
Absolutely.
Sir?
I said, no, absolutely. I mean, it's one of the things that people don't think about is just that whole people management. You know, you're talking about 65, 70 people. You know, and folks that you know, this isn't an 8-to-5 job. I mean, we know how people in hospitality are, and I can say that because my wife's been in hospitality. You know, her family runs restaurants, and you know, those are people. Yeah, they'll close it down, but don't think that they're just going to go home and go straight to bed. They're going to have a couple drinks, and they may have two or three more than they need to. And if they're opening the next day, well, they may not make it there, and that means you as the manager. You can either watch all the dishes pile up, or you can, you know, put an apron on, get your ass right there, and start getting some clean glasses out to the floor, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what, if I was a guy in competition barbecue doing what, like, Two Crackers does and those kind of guys selling, and the Rooster does, I don't know, you know, how that is, but it seems like more fun than what I do. I sit in front of computers and insurance people, and
yeah,
I've got three stores, and they're big, you know, they're big stores. I wish I had one barbecue joint where I was still cooking, throwing ribs around, you know.
Well, kind of doing like the Texas joints do and saying, you know, hey, I'm going to cook 30 slabs of ribs. I'm going to cook 5 briskets. I'm going to cook, you know, 2 cases of pork butts. And when it's gone, it's gone. And guess what? If that's noon today, but 2 o'clock tomorrow, either way, I know – if I cook this much, I should make around this much money each day, and I'm happy with that.
Yep.
I mean that's kind of the way. That's kind of the way to do it.
Yep. Well, you don't never know until you get in it, you know.
Absolutely.
You know, for one person, he would love what I'm doing, and another person would love the little joint, and
yep.
I just now that I've done this, I want the little joint. If I'd have done the little joint, I'd probably want this. You know, you just want to try things. It's fun to grow.
Absolutely. You get in there and you find out the things that are awesome about it, and you find out the things that go, you know, in the next life, I'm probably going to change this up a little bit. So, no, you're right.
Did you see all them pretty girls behind the bar?
Oh, yeah.
That's what was a good thing about it.
Exactly. No, I mean it was very nice atmosphere, and I ain't just talking about the four walls. But at the same time, you know, showing up in there on a Saturday night, you had the place packed. The food was great. The service was great. And so as much as you're talking about maybe in the future doing something scaled down, I will tell you, in my one experience there, I was thoroughly impressed. So job well done, Jim.
Thank you.
So, man, now talking about fun, let's skip on to what I know you're real excited about. And that's this 2013 Cowboys Pig Out Barbecue Competition. This is your third annual. It's my first year actually making it down to it, and I can't wait because every time I see somebody 2 weeks later at Pig Fest that cooked it, all they do is rave about it. Man, you know, well, actually, I don't have to wait that long. Usually Jimmy calls me on Sunday and says, damn it, man, I told you should have came down. You know, let me tell you what McCoin did, you know, blah, 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 you know, and it's like, damn, man, this sounds like a good time, you know? And so lucky enough to be coming down this year, worked out with the schedule, can't wait to get down there, but kind of walk us through why you started the contest and what people can expect if they sign up.
The guy over in that area that owns Budweiser is, Peter Bush. He's actually one of the, Bush people, you know, I believe it was his father that bought the Clydesdales.
Mm-hmm.
So he's not a regular, Bernie Little or one of these guys. Really a big, yeah, he's a big time deal. And they had been putting on this this rodeo for years. I don't know exactly how long, but they do this rodeo where they have, it's PBR. And actually, I'm saying rodeo. I learned that PBR is not a rodeo. It's professional bull riders. It's bull riding. So they do the bull riders. And they came called me one day. I had met Peter when I opened the Fort Pierce store over there. And he's a cowboy kind of guy, you know. He looks like he'd be on a horse. And they called me up and they said, tell us about a barbecue competition. They didn't know anything about a barbecue competition. So I went to their place there, and we went upstairs in a meeting room, and I told them what barbecue competitions were all about. And I said, I believe that, you know, barbecue and what I called rodeo go together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you can imagine any rodeo in the country could have a barbecue contest outside of it. So we talked and talked, and they said, will you put one on? And I said, sure, I'd love to put one on. And they threw out big money for a...
Officer, I'm crazy.
Do what?
I said, because you're sitting there going, because I think I already got my title sponsor, and that's going to make life a whole lot easier.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, he threw out, like, I believe he the first year he threw out, like, $80,000 for bands and everything.
Wow.
And did the whole deal up. And then the second year we did, last year we had Kentucky Headhunters and somebody else. But we had John Anderson the first year.
Yep.
But regardless, you know, he does it big time. And they do anything I ask them to do. They don't, there's no questions. You know, they're really good to us. So I love the barbecue world. I love all my buddies. You know, I said, this will be a way for me to be involved in barbecue without going out barbecuing, because I can't really go out barbecuing anymore. So it was great, you know, the first year Forrest won, and me and Forrest are buddies. You know, I've been to so many competitions where the guys announcing the winners is not excited. He don't
right.
know the people. He's just
right.
first place is Forrest Fine Foods, you know, where with me, I know what Forrest is good at. I know he's the brisket man, and I know, like you were saying, Thomas is the pork guy.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and I know what's up, and I know that, like, Blitzkrieg, Tommy Harden, he got reserved last year. And, you know, I know he's young in the sport. And matter of fact, he got in the sport, I believe, because of me. I held some little barbecue contests here in Okeechobee. Him and that Southern Backwoods and some of those guys from Okeechobee,
yeah, yeah.
We did little contests here in town. And so it makes me tickle to death to see these guys walk the stage, you know. And Dana, like I said, I remember Dana pulled up for his very first contest, and he won my contest last year. So, you know, it's different because I'm part of the family.
Mm-hmm.
And
absolutely.
I love it. I truly love it to get up and be able to say, hey, look who's, you know,
yeah.
look who's doing good and look who's getting called.
Well,
so
I try
to make it just like I'd want it. And I want
right.
good water, and I want
yeah.
good electric. And I want the awards to be fun. You know, I don't want them to be bland. And I want the crowd to come, and we really try. I mean, I think it was last year it was very cold. We didn't get a big crowd. But, you know, we do the best we can. You can't control the weather.
Right.
But I think everybody has fun.
Absolutely. Now, one of the things folks had asked me, I probably had three or four teams ask me, because they've heard us talk about it on the show, and they said, well, how are you going to kind of handle this? Because we're one of those teams that unless something just out of the ordinary happens, Jim, we're hooked up before awards, and we're ready to go right after awards. Just because, you know, my teammate, he's got three boys under the age of eight, and we just like to be home Saturday night. And kind of reading through the registration, it, you know, it talks about, you know, wanting all the Cook teams to stay a little bit later on Saturday. If that's etched in stone, it's etched in stone, and we can all work with it. Or is there by chance a place that if we told you, you know, we're not vending, and hey, we may have a longer walk to turn in, but we'd like to be able to get out of here after awards, is that going to be something that on a smaller scale you could maybe work out for teams that have a reason to have to get out, or is that just something that's an absolute? And I know why you have to do it. It's from insurance point of view, and you can't have you leaving out of the main exit when there's maybe 5,000 people there, you know, at that point in time. So if it's something that's possible, great. If not, then I just wanted the folks to know, because I said, I don't know, but Jim's coming on the show next week. I'll ask him. So I just wanted to cover that with you if you can. I didn't mean to put you on the spot.
Yeah, well, the way it works is there's a big road coming in, and the ticket sales are in the front, and we set up on each side of it. So
okay.
We look like you're pulling in a neighborhood, and the barbecue teams are houses. You know, they're on mm-hmm. both sides. So you said it right. I'm putting on the barbecue contest, but my sponsor rents the fairgrounds.
Yeah.
And the fairgrounds say as long as there's openings, you can't cross that, let's call it a midway.
Mm-hmm.
You can't cross that. But if you get with me, I'm going to get you across there and you're going to get out. And as a matter of fact, if you tell me you're going to leave early, I'm going to put you on the one side that you don't have to cross it.
Okay.
But if something happened, I did put you on the other side and you want to leave, I'm going to, you know, I'll stop traffic and we'll get you out.
Okay.
But they put that there in my thing because
sure.
you're not supposed to cross it.
No,
so
and
nobody.
And,
no, I would never ever hold anybody up. You know, I know what you mean. I used
yeah.
to leave on Saturday nights and drive all the way home. So,
well, and we're planning on coming down on Thursday night. You know, and so you know that's fine. We'll get all the partying. But I wanted to ask that because I know of some of the teams that were wanting to sign up. They were really, you know, hey, I think I want to get out of there Saturday night. Do you think I got to stay that late? And I said, you know what? I said, you know, knowing Jim, I said, I'm sure there's a way around that to where we can, because in talking to other guys, I've kind of known that it's a big insurance thing. And actually, by being banned from ever going back to the city of Claremont and cooking again, I've understood that a lot more. so with that being said, we'll leave it at that because we did leave about 15 minutes early one time, and I think sheriff officials probably never said a good thing about me since, but that's fine.
Hey,
you'd love to have all friends in this world, but if you don't have an enemy or two, Jim, they're all going to think you're a pushover.
Hey, we got them. We got them. I used to park over across the street when I went there.
Oh,
that way
see,
I could
you,
do what I wanted.
You know the deal. You know the deal.
Yeah, we would park on the hill over there.
Excellent, but, man.
Hey, I got some pretty big news. I don't know if I'm supposed to tell you this.
Let me hear it.
Okay. I asked the board the other day, about 3 days ago, if we could put on the Team of the Year awards for the FBA and the Judge of the Year awards, because they're not doing anything for the Team of the Year. You know, every
yeah.
year I cooked, we would have this, what's
end
it
of
called?
Year.
The,
yeah. End of year celebration.
Yeah, the end of the
or,
year
yeah.
party.
Yeah.
They're not doing anything. So, you know, here you shoot for a Team of the Year and you're good enough to get it, and now they don't have anything for you. You know, you're supposed to announce who won pork, who won brisket, who won
mm-hmm.
ribs, who won chicken, the best judge, you know, all that stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
So I got an email back today that said it sounds good and we'll be getting together in the next couple of days. So possibly somewhere along the lines we're going to have the Team of the Year awards and the Judge of the Year awards at my contest. I'd like to have it every year because, you know, other than Ziggy Dix, I am the second contest on the
Absolutely.
On the thing. And then also we're having Dana's barbecue.
Battle of Barbecue Junction, man. We're
Battle
one of the contestants in that bad boy.
Yeah. I want to be a judge. He won't let me be a judge. He said I might, because I know everybody, I might have.
Yeah.
Which, what's wrong with that?
Well, hey, the way I look at it is, hey, man, you're an equal guy. You know if you were cooking in it, you wouldn't want to be hometown jobbed, but the thing I like about it is you got an educated palate. I mean, you're a guy that's cooked competition barbecue and ate probably some of the best competition barbecue that's out there.
Well, I like to eat. That's
yeah,
sure.
Well,
there's no doubt about that.
I don't think anybody in the barbecue community has ever called me or you a skinny feller. I can tell you that.
Yeah, you're right. Well, we got our first judge for the Barbecue Junction, a guy named Josh Cohen on the. He's on one of the radios over here. And so that's going to really help, you know, get him talking about
sure.
Barbecue Junction. That's the whole idea Dana's doing this, you know, is to get people involved.
Pull the public out, yeah.
Yeah. And so this guy's the first one, you know, he's already accepted our invitation. And Dana, that's a great idea that he came up with. It's going to be work. I almost you know, if I was still really involved, I would be saying, hey, we need somebody that has to organize this besides Dana. He's a cook.
Right, right, right.
You know, we need somebody. Could we afford?
Right. Almost like the way if you look at the Sam's Club event. Yeah, Troy Black flies in on Friday and kind of is the face of it. But, there's a dude, and I'm sure he doesn't make a shit ton of money, that drives all that equipment from one contest to the next contest for just Sam's Club. You know what I'm saying? So I think that's kind of where you're going is if you had this guy that took care of the logistics, and then, yeah, once it got on site and that dude got it all set up, I'm sure Dana wouldn't mind at all being the point guy. But to expect him and Janet to kind of get everything set up and – I mean that's a whole lot of hump in it, you know.
Right, right. At some point the FBA is going to have to hire a secretary type person, organizer type person, to do some of this stuff because it's a lot of work. You know, I was on the board and I was saying it back then. I was saying we should hire somebody because.
Yeah.
If you could hire somebody, we could all tell her what to do or him what to do, and it would really grow fast, you know. And you could get your sponsors. The KCBS didn't get their sponsors by just volunteers. Got all that set up because it's somebody's job.
No, but because here's what the deal is. They were smart enough to say, hey, MMA, Mike McLeod and you guys, we want to bring y'all on. Y'all go out and get us sponsors. And I've said this to guys before. I've actually had somebody come to me and say, "Hey, I've got somebody that's interested in sponsoring you. Can I take 10% of the money?" Absolutely. Because guess what? If you're bringing me a $3,000 or $4,000 sponsor just as a barbecue team that I wasn't gonna find, I have no problem writing you a $400 check at all.
Right.
Because I'm still a winner there. You know.
Yeah.
And so that's the same approach KCBS took was. Look, MMA, yeah, we'll give you a little bit of a retainer fee, but then why don't we just work out a cut of whatever you bring to us? And at that point in time, at the end of the day, Jim, they're all winners. I mean, they brought on some really big sponsors in KCBS just based on their relationship with MMA.
Yep. It's got somebody had to treat it like a job, and as long as it's not somebody's job and they're not. You know, you cannot take a volunteer and threaten their job.
Right. Oh, what are you telling me? I'm going to free up 10 hours a week? Awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you. Fire me right now.
Right. So I just feel like that's where it'll need to go soon. And we've got something great here, you know. But that's what's, in my eyes, that's what's missing. Because what Dana's doing is exactly what we need, but who's going to keep doing it?
Right.
You know, who would keep doing it?
Right. And one of the things I recommend is to all the teams that are participating, we got to understand why this is being done, is to engage the public. You want to win. It'd be cool to say you're the winner of it, but make sure and interact. If somebody asks what you're doing, you know, and we've got very personal people inside the FBA that are just looking forward to doing this. But just make sure that the whole purpose behind this is to engage the public. So do everything you can to you know, keep that adoption and foster that to make it happen, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, throw some stuff on there to catch stuff on fire.
Yeah.
Make it look great. Can you imagine? You're going to do it, aren't you?
Yeah.
Oh, I can imagine the lines I could come up with if I was cooking something. That would be so much fun.
Yeah, it's gonna be a blast. So yeah, we're gonna do it. Our team that we're bringing down there, and our team for Fort Pierce may look a little different than our usual team, maybe a little bit of a hybrid team, but we're looking forward to it. It's gonna be a good time. So Jim, you know, on the way out, is there anything else you kind of want to hit on and drive people to where can they go register? Where can they get the details? Do we have the concert folks yet? As far as who's going to be performing?
We are. I've got a bunch of stuff highlighted here. Look,
yeah, let's cover.
Look at it. We've got, as far as like the rodeo, I've got a, what is this thing called here? This press release they did today. They did December 1st. And they're saying that this bull named Rango, if you're a rodeo or bull rider person, you'll know. Larry the Cable Guy has a bull named Gitter Dunn. It's supposed to be there, a bull named Gunpowder. It talks about all that kind of stuff on that press release. And then, oh, by the way, I always wanted to compliment you on your Vision Quest music.
Thank you, man, dude.
That's dude. The good stuff.
Hey, I got to take down shoot, dude. That's a great show, man. Or that's a great movie, man. I mean,
I've watched that movie 100 times. It don't get old.
Dude, I'm right there with you, man. I mean, dude, the time where Lau gets caught sniffing the girl that's living with him's panties out of the dryer, and
yeah.
She walks in, it's a classic Hollywood cinema moment.
I thought I was the only one who got caught doing that stuff. That's why I liked it so much. But, you know, he got so skinny, and it used to piss me off. I'm like, I exercised for like 7-8 minutes last night. I'm still fat.
Yeah.
I just can't stand those some bitches that get skinny.
Yeah, and they're trying to make it a bitch because he got a nosebleed. Look, dude, I'll take a nosebleed. Just,
yeah, what's a nosebleed?
Just let me shed weight like this fool is right now. Yeah, I got
you. Yeah. I know. I put the garbage bag on. I ran around the house a couple times. My dad wanted to throw me away. He was like...
Oh,
okay, we got some bands, but we don't have the big bands this year like we did have because it didn't seem to be working so good. We got local bands.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard of Gary Stewart?
Yes.
Okay. Well, Gary Stewart played with a band, and they're going to be there. Even though he's dead, they're going to be there. We got the bands are Tom Jackson, which is local around here. He's like a big star. Felix Moss and the Easy People Band. And then we've got something really neat. This is going to tickle you. We got a group of people called the Sweeney, Sweeney Family Band. And if you go online and look at them, they're like a bunch of moonshine drinking hillbillies.
Nice.
You know, overall wearing. And they kind of mingle in the crowd, and they carry their guitar around and all that stuff, and they tell jokes, and they, you know, do that kind of stuff. And they're supposed to be hilarious. And they're going to be there. And I think they're like there all day. They're not just singing certain times. They're going to be around doing stuff. So that's what we got going with entertainment. But the rest of it's just the barbecue event. The payouts are on line, and it's a lot of fun. We got nice trophies.
And from what I hear too, is that there's because of your title sponsor, there's never really that much of a shortage of Cook Team libations. Is that correct? False or true?
Cook Team what?
Cook Team adult beverages. Of a barley nature.
Budweiser is my sponsor.
That's what I'm saying. I just wanted to confirm.
Can you imagine a barbecue guy having Budweiser as a sponsor?
Yeah.
How does it don't get any better?
No, sir. It sure don't.
Yeah, they take real good care of us. They have always taken. You know, the funny thing, when I met Peter Bush, I didn't know who he was.
Right.
And I was working in my Fort Pierce store, and he came in to talk to me and meet me. And I thought he was just a salesman or something. And he kept talking and talking and talking, and I was like, I finally got out from underneath the table, and I said, buddy, if you're going to talk to me, you're going to have to follow me around because I'm busy. And he did follow me around. Well, after he left, my chef guy came up to me, and he's like, did you know who that was? I said, the salesman for Budweiser, I guess. I don't know who he is. He's like, that's Peter Bush. And I was like, oh, my God, I told him to follow me around. Well, we started doing all kinds of stuff. I cooked his anniversary. I cooked at his polo club. I cooked at all this stuff. And I asked his son one day, I said, man, your dad must like my cooking. He said, no. He goes, you told him to follow you around. He goes, he'd love that. I said, well, I didn't know who he was. I would have said that. He goes, I know, but you treated him like anybody else, and nobody does that. So that's how we started our relationship. I thought he was a salesman because he looks like a cowboy. You'd never know who he is.
That's funny, man. Well, Jim, we're looking forward to it. How many teams you got about right now? You got about 20?
I think I got about 30. I counted 20 something the other day, and we got a pile of them in the office that's not been. We haven't looked at their stuff.
Hey, but let me ask you this. If we, I'm putting you on the spot again. If somebody's out there thinking about turning that application in right now, if they put Whiskey Ben at the top and they get it to you before Christmas, can we still give them that early registration discount?
You got to just date the check correctly.
I
can throw the envelope away and hand it to the girl and say it was in my wallet all week.
All right, so just
date the check.
So here in the pit, we're telling you that if you date the check correctly, and what date should be on that check, Jim?
I just got a check from Black Dog Barbecue. It's what was it? Anyways, December 1st.
Yeah.
It's got to be before December. I got a check from Black Dog Barbecue, and it was over the date, but they dated their check correctly, and they split the difference with me.
Nice.
They gave me $275, and I said, well, now that's the way to be.
Now that's funny. All right. Yeah. Guys, if you get it to Jim before Christmas, put $11.30 on it, $275. He saved a couple bucks. Or you save a couple bucks. You know, he makes a couple bucks, and it's the right thing to do.
Everybody's happy at the end of the day.
Absolutely.
Hey, tell Rub there. I've got to get back to work there. Working in the restaurant tonight. But tell Rub, I went and cooked Arkansas with him.
Yep.
And since he came back to Arkansas, you notice how he's been kicking butt?
Yep. Hey, you taught him a thing or two.
That's what I'm talking about. I had to give him the special touch, the little baby powder on the butts and stuff like that to keep them ripe.
Well, hey,
it's all me.
Hey, it's been a long time since you two boys have hung out at a barbecue contest.
He don't like me around. I broke his neck one night.
I knew that story, and I was wondering if it was going to come out. I do know about the funny thing was not that you broke his neck, not funny at all. The amazing thing is not that you just broke his neck, but the fact that he went to bed in your RV. You told him, "Hey, dude, you got to get out," and then he gets in the truck and drives all the way back. Where from Tennessee with a broken neck?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, you haven't met his wife. His wife made him drive back. I was wanting to give him a ride in the motorhome.
Yeah.
And his wife was like so mad at him because he got drunk. She's like yelling at him, and he got in the truck and drove home. And he had a broken neck. He's a good guy. He's good stuff.
Excellent. So last question I got coming in on text here. For the guys that are coming in early on Thursday night, we go have a little party out there?
Yeah, well, see, that's why I mentioned that team of the year thing. I'm hoping maybe we can do that on Thursday night.
Nice.
Wouldn't that be cool?
That would be
cool.
You
get all the judges there and everything Thursday night. Maybe Thursday night have a dinner, do the team of the year awards and everything. And then Friday, do your cook's meeting and all that junk. And
yeah.
Be nice.
No. That's,
but
that's
I'm waiting to hear from the board.
Cool. Well, hopefully that works out. I'd like to see it work out that way.
Yeah. I want to do a real good deal here. I'd like to see this thing get really big. It's a good, we got a good place there. And like I said, the electric and water is super. We got a stage. You got everything you need.
Excellent, man. Well, Jim, dude, thanks so much for coming on tonight. We're going to keep pushing this thing until the week of. We want to see as many people down there at Cowboys Pig Out Barbecue Competition as we can. So thanks again for coming on tonight, my brother, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, buddy. Thank you.
Jim. All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, guys, Jim McCoyne, Cowboys Pig Out Barbecue Contest, Fort Pierce, Florida Barbecue Association certified, sanctioned, and it's going to be happening January 11th and 12th. And for those of you that are anxious and want to get down there on the 10th, that's going to happen also. Before we go over to Rub Bagby real quick, he's in chat tonight, Craig Sherry, Texas Pepper Jelly, TexasPepperJelly.com. If you haven't tried Craig's products, you need to. I haven't told Craig this yet, but he'll be getting a pretty substantial order from my real job company. My top 20 clients are going to get a nice gift basket. Craig does a real nice holiday gift basket, gives people a nice sampling of all of his pepper jellies. And honestly, folks, if I go sending Starbucks cards to my clients, they're going to realize it's a corporate deal and it didn't come from the heart. So they're going to want something barbecue-related or cooking-related. So I'm going to send them a basket of Texas Pepper Jelly. So if you haven't gone over there and tried Craig's stuff, do it. TexasPepperJelly.com. If you love pepper jelly, it's awesome. But also check out the rib candies, the bird bath, those different things. Craig's got a great line of products, and they're going to enhance your backyard and your competition barbecue all to the next level. With that being said, let's pull in the guy that besides, you know, maybe Chris Lilly, Big Bob Gibson's winning the King of the Smoker this weekend. Maybe he's the only one hotter, but Rub's been doing it week in, week out. Without further ado, Rob Bagby. What's up, buddy?
Hey, how you doing, friend?
Doing well, man. I know you've got to be doing well. Probably still coming back down off of it a little bit. Dude, congratulations first off to start.
Thank you.
It seems like I had you on here 3-4 months ago, and we were outlining all your top finishes, and you've only gotten better since then. And you know, and Jim's talking about it. It may be because of you and him in Arkansas. I mean, if I look at the results, the guy's got a point. So the thing is, I mean, you've got to, you know, you got to look at that. But you've been cooking really well, Rub. And well, once again, how, you know, a couple things I want to cover with you tonight. But first, let's kind of talk about the last couple of months. And I hadn't done a count on it, but Jim Dehaney tells me you're already 5 GCs deep into that magic number 7 in this jack year. True or untrue?
That's true.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm excited about that.
And I'll tell you what, it was funny. I can remember that discussion probably 2009, Dade City backyard. We were talking. We were very Rob Bagby awestruck. And I can remember you saying, hey, look, the Royal, you win a state championship, you can go. It's your decision. You know, do you want to drive out to Arkansas or fly out there and borrow stuff, whatever, but you can go. And then you kind of explained the Jack to us, and you said, but gentlemen, I'll tell you, there's only one way to go to the Jack, and that's you got to win 7 contests. And if you ever decide that there's a year that you really want to go, you need to focus, you need to book a lot of contests, you need to be cooking well, and you need to go do it. And we're like, dude, that's, you know, this, you're talking to a team that hadn't even won their first backyard GC yet. You're like, boy, you're asking for a lot of shit to happen here. And but it's pretty amazing that when you get that focus, what I find most amazing about what you've done this year, Rub, is you've done it without having the flexibility you've had in your work schedule years prior. I mean, you're showing up at some contest 5, 6, 7 o'clock. And still getting it done, and I think that just shows, you know, at the end of the day, a cook's a cook, and obviously you're cooking damn well right now.
Thank you. Yeah, it's been everything you said. It started, and I'll be honest with you, and I didn't really want to tell anybody this, and I don't know that I have. I think I've maybe told one person, but for the 2000, for the draw that just happened this past October, or whenever it was.
Mm-hmm.
I had 0 qualifiers in the draw, and that drove me absolutely nuts. That was the first time in, I don't know, since I won my first grand championship that I didn't have any qualifiers in the draw. Now, I had won probably 3 grands, but, you know, the FBA is behind the times on making all of their contests qualifiers.
Yeah.
You know, they met the numbers and all the other criteria. They just didn't have the proclamation.
Yep.
So that totally torqued me off that I didn't have any qualifiers, and I just kind of set it in my mind at that point. It's like, you know what, this is embarrassing. I'm not going to let this happen again. Kind of put my nose down to the grindstone and, started working on it. And I sure didn't expect to have 5 by December, not in my wildest dreams. You know, I was hoping to have maybe 1 or 2, but, yeah, this has been really something. And like you said, I used to be able to get off work a little bit early, and my goal used to be to get there by the cooks meeting. And this year, my boss has clamped down on me some. You know, I can still get off, but I can't take an hour here and an hour there. I have to take full days, which, you know, will wipe me out pretty quickly. So, I've been just hauling butt right after work. I get off, I can leave as early as 3, still been able to do okay. So I've just been tickled pink about that. I haven't wanted to tell my boss that, you know, that
right.
things have been going great. But because who knows what she might throw at me next. But, yeah, so far so good.
No, and I think it's great. Now, when you come in late like that, do you change anything? Or do you just keep running your program? Do you maybe go on a little bit later so you can, you know, myself and a lot of guys, you know, Cosmos was on a couple of weeks ago. Ernest was talking about it last week. You know, that hey, you know, at least you like to get 4 hours of kind of letting that meat equalize after an injection. Do you mess around with your injection levels at all, or do you push back your go on time, or you just say whether I'm there at 4 o'clock and do it on time, or whether it's 7:30, I just keep it the same.
No, I haven't changed my injection at all, and I you know as soon as I get there, my brisket's already trimmed and my butt
mm-hmm.
they don't take but a second to trim, so I don't break them open yet. But that's the very first thing as I inject, and you know, I've only been getting probably 3 hours, maybe four, but, you know, quite often it's three and a half, and, you know, it seems to be doing okay. You know, I've
yeah,
got
well.
A couple other just minor tweaks, but, and I don't know if they're actually having any effect on anything or not,
right?
But, you know, it's been working, so I'm not going to change it back.
Well, you know, it was funny today. I was reading the... and obviously, you know, it's not like I'm dropping a bomb here. You know, you and Dan Hickson are good friends. Struck up a
yeah.
friendship, you know, kind of not only, you know, I mean, you used 3 eyes forever, but then you went up, you did the class in Maryland this year. And I was reading the press, I don't know if you have yet, if you go over to kcbs.us, you can kind of read the press release that announces them as Team of the Year and Munchin Hogs as you know, RGC or whatever you want to call it, you know, second. And Dan said something. He said, you know, this year, he goes, you know, it would amaze you that we just cook really simple. And that's something, too, that when you look at, you know, when you look back, and it's one of those things because, you know, we haven't had the best 2012 ever. We haven't cooked a lot of contests, but the ones we did, we weren't super happy with the majority of the things. And I came or results, and I came back to look at it, and I said, you know what? I said, man, we've made things a lot more complicated. You know, when you're setting alarms every hour that has to do with butts and brisket, you're probably just really overthinking this thing. And so every time that happens, Rob, I'll be honest with you, I go back to that first cooking school, and I pull out the Vizio charts, and I pull out the notes, and it's just kind of, hey, man, let me take a Control-Alt-Delete here and get things back to basics. And you know, yeah, well, I do something different with, you know, what I'm learning about flavor profiles now compared to 2 years ago. Sure, you know, this or that. But it just seems like keeping things simple is what does it. And you kind of with the statement you just made of, yeah, maybe 3 hours, maybe three and a half, maybe four. You're not sweating it. You know that you're putting a quality injection in it. If it gets to equalize a little bit, that's great. I mean, you don't want to inject it and throw it in the cooker, but you realize the difference between 3 and 4 hours is probably not that huge. And it just doesn't sound like there's details that you really are going to pay attention to, but there's other things that you're just not going to sweat and push too hard. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yeah, you're hitting it pretty much on the head. There's, yeah, I've said it before, there's probably at least 100 or more details that you've got to get right to win the contest. You know, and like they say, the first 90 are pretty easy. The last 10 that are important. You know, if you're getting the first 90, you know, most of the top 10 or 15 teams at least are getting the first 90 right. It's those, the important ones. But like you said, 3.5 hours and 4 hours, that's not a lot of difference.
Yeah.
And I tell people in my class, you know, everybody always wants to know what temperature and how long. And it drives me nuts, not in a way like I'm really bugged by them, but, yeah, you know, they're there to learn. But I wish people could get away from that mindset of it has to be this at this
yep.
temperature or this amount of time. I mean, it's an oven, you know.
Yep, yep.
If the meat's got to cook, if you're short on time, you raise the temperature. If you've got plenty any time you lower the temperature. You just want to make the time and the finished internal temperature meet at the predetermined point. So, you know, it's not a preset formula, and only that can work. You know, you just got to be flexible and roll with it and have fun. And remember, you know, this is America's original cuisine. These the guys who invented barbecue, they were far from brilliant chefs. They were just the good old working folks, the working poor, making the best of what they had, and, you know, they kicked some butt with it.
No, I agree with you. And, you know, and talking about that, you know, Jimmy Burr's been on before, and I think he's had one of the best lines, and that is, you know, you're just really fighting to try to cook the best good average barbecue you can. You don't want to be, you know, you don't want to be too far over that line chefy-wise when it comes to, you know, your finishing glazes and this and that. But, you know, at the same time, it's got to, you know, the key thing is it's got to be well-cooked. And like you said, that only comes with experience. That, you know, and being there at your first class, I remember you're like, guys, I can't, you know, what here's how I can describe it to you, but take this thermopin and put it in that brisket. That and put it around this region, and that's what I'm looking for. And that's something you can't put on paper, you can't talk to people about. You just got to be there and say, you know, hey, this is what I can do.
Right.
So would that be
a second? You use a lot of your senses. I don't, you know, with the pits, I use even my sense of hearing. You know, you can listen, and it's not so much anymore with, now that I'm using pans mostly, but even with the ribs before they get wrapped or anything, you can hear the sizzle of the grease dripping on the plates, and is it quiet in there? Is it too loud? You know, do you smell smoke that's not quite right?
Yeah.
There's a lot of sensory stuff that goes into it. Like you said, it's not just a, you know, watch on TV or read about it. There's a lot of tactile things that are involved.
No, the one of the things, I think the one that hit with me the most is smell. Because, you know, now moving back to an insulated cooker and the pellet grills, for us, it's one of those things that you can, you almost know when it's got that kind of sweet, savory feeling that you want, where you're smelling it and you're going, man, I really hope that flavor is going directly on my meat, because, man, it sure smells good. Or that part where you go, man, I forgot I cooked 50 pounds of chicken. I probably should have cleaned this thing out. You know, let me not put any meat on it, and, you know, let me get a little cleanup in here beforehand. You know, but it's those things, just paying attention to the basic senses and not overthinking it.
Yeah, exactly. I tell you, one of my most nerve-wracking contests, I was next to a team, and I don't even remember who they were, but they were, I think they were new and beginning, and they were burning stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And the way the wind was blowing, it was kind of wafting right into my trailer. And I kept thinking, crap, I'm burning something again. What the heck's going on? And, you know, I get my heart racing, and I go and I double check, and oh, everything's okay. It must be that team next door. And then it'd clear out, and then that burn smell would come back. I go, oh, shit, what's going
oh,
on? It kept freaking me out the whole weekend. But, yeah, that's a big important part of it.
So how did the Invitational go for you this year? And actually, before I do that, I want to ask you this, because I noticed you obviously only cooked the Invitational.
Right.
So, and I'm going to try to get you on my side of the ship here real quick, so I'll just give you this beforehand. Would you be more excited if it was a two-day Invitational and Open in Perry?
Oh, yeah. We talked with Aaron Portwood Friday night. He's one of the organizers. He's Mr. Woods and Water. And, you know, he was saying, what can I do to get more teams cooking both? And I told him exactly why I couldn't do it. You know, I'm a one-man show, and I don't have the room. I don't have the physicalness to do all that. I said, you know, I suggested what Kel does up at the Best of the Best. And, you know, I said, that's a rough weekend, but it's very doable for everybody. And if you stop and look, 90% of the teams are getting to where they show up on Thursday anyway.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's almost like a no-brainer. I'm all for it, and I would love to see that happen.
I would, too. And I'll tell you what, it would be one of those that not only would we go up and try to, you know, and cook both of them, but it would make you cook more FBAs to make sure you qualified for the Triple Crown Invitational. And so I think it's a win-win all the way around. I mean, because after we did it the first year, you know, we cooked right next to you that year. We said, you know what, we're probably not coming back here because it was just too much. Even with cooker capacity, this and that, it didn't justify the five-hour drive. And we just said, you know what, we're probably not coming back. So we didn't really care that we cut back on our schedule at all. Whereas if that's out there hanging for you and you want to go out there and you say, you know what, we're going to dedicate 3 days to it, one to get up there, two to cook it, the night to come back. I don't know. I mean, I just feel like an invitation and open should be one of those things, too, that, you know, and Rob, you may know this, North Florida profiles are a little bit different than Central Florida profiles. So I would like to, if I was one of those guys that was my first time cooking it up there, I'd like to have the ability to tweak a little bit. You know, me and you've talked about it on the show before. You talked me off a very serious ledge after we got our teeth kicked in at the Royal Invitational. But then, guess what? There was another day. We made a ton of changes. We went from 123 out of 126 to 33 out of 480. Hey,
yeah,
not bad. You know,
not bad at all.
Right. So,
and you also made I remember a nice change you made at the Best of the Best.
Yes.
From
yes.
day one to day two, taste
absolutely.
Of that sauce, and you guys kicked it way up.
Yeah,
that was awesome.
You're absolutely right. It was that morning of the open. I said, hey, Rub, here's our sauce. We're heating it up. Will you give me a taste? And you tasted it, and you said, You know, and you told me what you thought was off. We made the changes, and we got two calls. Whereas at the Invitational, we didn't do well at all. So it's those things. I feel like when you're traveling like that, and I realize for the North Florida guys, they go, well, we're not traveling. We travel when we come to you, but when you're saying that you're holding an Invitational and an Open, I just think the assumption is it's a two-day event.
Right.
And that would be nice. So
I'd be very surprised if we see it, see both of them on the same day next year.
Cool.
I'm not on the board anymore, but
right.
just all the positive comments I heard, I feel pretty good that it's going to be a two-day contest.
Well, that would be good to see because – I'll tell you what, I would think you would get it to, you know, I think you'd almost get a full invitational field at that point. And you would probably pick up, you know, 10 or 15 teams in the open that way, too. But, you know, we'll see what – because the other cool thing is the open teams look at it and go, well, I can come in a day early, hang out and drink beers with these guys that cook the invitational, maybe go around, do a little bit of, you know, conversing and meet some folks. But – I think it would increase both attendances. I agree.
Mm-hmm. It'd be a real good thing.
I think we had 31 and 33, and I would say conservatively you would probably have 40 in the Invitational and 60 in the Open next year.
I could see that happening.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see it. Definitely.
So how did the cook go for you? Did you like it? Was there anything that stood out to you? I mean, your chicken score was phenomenal. Did you love it that much when you tasted it?
Yeah, it was, you know, I looked at it. It was gorgeous. I tasted it, and it was like, yep, that's what I wanted right there. On my scores, I don't think I've ever gotten this close without getting the perfect score. I had two judges, who each gave me a 9.5 in either taste or tenderness.
Mm.
And those are my only blemishes. So that's pretty close. But, yeah, it was,
and
it was
on
pretty
chicken,
outstanding chicken.
On chicken, that's the thing. I mean, it's cool to do it on any other category, but on chicken, that 200 sure would be sweet.
Yeah, that would. That's a tough one.
Yeah,
you know,
it
people
is.
People fuss about brisket, but I think chicken can be more difficult to win in than brisket.
Yeah.
You know, everybody can cook chicken.
Absolutely.
And what was funny was, and I'll, I, you know, I don't mind making fun of myself a little bit, the weekend before in Sebring, I got beat in chicken by one of the teams who are famous for vending from up north.
Really?
I don't really want to call them out on anything, but
no, no.
Let's just say they're not there for the contest. They're there to vend.
And for playing loud Michael Jackson music?
Yeah.
I
got beat in chicken by those guys with the exact same chicken that hit a 198 up in Perry, so that was kind of interesting. It was a good feeling to see it come back.
That's too funny. So then you move on over to ribs and you win ribs. So at this point, you got to be kind of jacked up, Rub. I mean, you're just taking. I mean, and when you know this field, as long as you don't think you've bombed any of the other two, you have to be feeling pretty confident, right?
It's kind of strange because I've been in a couple of contests where I've had two first places and tanked in the other ones and come in third overall. Well, maybe not tanked, but, you know, didn't keep up. So I was excited as all get out. But, you know, but at the same time, I was very cautious not to let myself get too excited because I've seen what can happen before. So, you know, I just wanted to relax and take it. And I wasn't super happy with my brisket. Max Meats was, they have not been able to get in IBP briskets for a while now, close to a month, and I'm cooking a different brand. It's still a CAB, but it's a different
XL?
Packer. No, it's National.
National, okay.
And they're just, they cut them funny. It's different than the IBPs, and yeah, I don't know if it's good or bad, but it's not what I'm used to.
Right.
And I spent probably a half hour looking at that thing when I was trimming it, trying to figure out how I was going to make it work. I really wasn't super happy with it. And then, you know, when I finally got into it and cut it open, one of them tasted like nothing. It was like eating white bread.
Just flat.
And there was, yeah, absolutely nothing to it. And the other one was iffy at best, I thought. And when I finally cut it open, it was, you know, it was pretty good. So, but, you know, you never know. I've had brisket where I thought it was phenomenal, and it's come in the 20s.
Yeah.
So, you know, I just hate to get myself too excited because that's a bad feeling if you think you're going
to
win.
Well, and you come to the too excited point. Port gets called, which you're a world champion in, and you have a student take first, Q Fuse.
Yeah.
But the cool thing about that is not only did they win port, but if you look at two and three, probably two of the best port cooks around, and that's Thomas Henry and Jason Wickham.
Oh, yeah.
Unknown. And so you don't hear your name in pork, and now you're going, oh, shit, so now you're going to make me sweat it. But
it's going to happen again.
Right. Knowing what we know now, if you look at it, Jim Dehaney takes 10th place in pork with damn near a 193. And you were fortunate enough to come out of there with a 189 and some change. So it wasn't that huge drop off that you needed. Plus, I don't believe Terry got a call there either, which was clicking on your heels.
Definitely.
He did get a call. No, he did get a call.
Yeah,
he was scored ahead of you on pork.
Yeah, he said, which surprised me, he said he only got one call. So he was very surprised to come up at reserve.
Yeah, and so then brisket, he wins brisket, Terry does, with a damn near 197, and you've heard a seventh. The seventh had to make you feel better. It had to say, okay, there's another call, even though this is a tough field. Now I've got three calls, two of them being first. I don't think, I mean, and your pork wasn't outlandish enough to make you think that you had really screwed the pooch, was it, Rub?
No, I thought it was pretty good. I was disappointed when it didn't get called. You know, Kel's doing the awards, and he always likes to do them, and it's fun doing it this way, where he just calls up 10 in no particular order.
Yeah.
So you're standing up there with all your friends, and nobody really says it, but everybody's thinking, oh, please don't call me first.
Yeah.
You know, which is tense, you know, because he starts at 10 and 8-7. And it's like, oh, gosh, don't call me now. So when he did call at seventh, know, I was happy to be up there, but I'm thinking, oh, man, I did not want to sit down this early in the calling. So, I still had no idea. I wasn't assuming anything. I figured I had top three, somewhere in the top three wrapped up. But, I didn't know. I didn't further venture a guess beyond that.
Understood. So, obviously, it went well for you. Are you cooking Ziggy Dicks next, or are you cooking Jim's contest next?
Both of them. Yeah, Ziggy Dicks both? And then Jim's.
Excellent.
Yep, I was actually hunting up the applications just before I called in. I can't find Jim's application. Jim, if you're still there, shoot me one on an email.
Yeah, that or I had to do a Google search, and I came to the site on the Budweiser. I think it's Eagle Distributing's. Where you just enter your contact information and they forward you an application.
Okay.
So that's the way I went about it. The one contest that's sticking out to me FBA-wise this year, so obviously you'll do Fort Pierce, and then you'll probably be like a Fort Pierce Pig Fest, and then Winter Haven. Mm-hmm. But the Apopka contest, the week after Winter Haven, you got to go cook it. This old boy's putting up $20,000.
That's a new one, right?
Yeah, that first year contest, $20,000, boom.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So that I hate doing the three weekends in a row, but I don't know how you can't. You definitely can't skip Frank. I mean, Frank's the man,
right?
You got to cry at least one cook's meeting. And if it's going to be that, it's got to be Frank's per year.
Exactly. Exactly.
And all for a good cause. I'm not poking fun at Frank and those
guys.
No, it's a good cause, man. And to see how committed those two guys are to making this happen year round. And one thing I've always said about Frank as an organizer, man, you see him more than once a year. You see him at Mulberry. Oh, yeah. You see him at Plant City. You see him all over the place coming in to check on his cooks, make sure things are all right. Make sure they're looking forward to next year. And that's something that Tusk guys goes just a long way.
Definitely.
So Definitely. The other part of what you have coming on in 2013, is I want to hit on those two classes that I'm pretty interested in. The one being the what I will call the super class. Yourself and Three Eyes, Dan Hickson and the boys coming down here in Winter Haven. I believe are you guys doing it at the Boys and Girls Club?
Yes, we are. Yep, we're going to do it lakefront on the chain of lakes in Imperial County.
So March 8th and 9th. Well, Rub, since you're not cooking pig on the pond that year, can we get your entry?
Sure.
Just
go for it. Just
there ain't no way in hell that would happen.
She just threw that contest up there this past weekend. I was frustrated to see that because I was – it's going to finally work out that I could go back. But I had no idea it was going to be the same weekend.
Well, I'd been telling the story that you were boycotting it with us. So this just helps make it all the better.
That's what it is. That's what I meant to say when I said that. It was all code talk.
Yeah. So how do you see that class filling up already? I mean, are you getting good replies to it?
Yeah. We're still 4 months out.
Yeah.
And we're probably close to 25% full. I know that December is a hard sell. Everybody's doing Christmas and stuff and money's tight. So to be where we are right now, I think it's fantastic. In the past, my classes have always been slow to fill, and it's just like a contest. A few people will enter right off the bat, and then a good chunk of them just need to wait or have to wait until closer to the time, and they'll send their money in. And usually I feel pretty confident it's going to be a pretty, I don't want to say a large class, but a healthy class. I think there will be at least three instructors there, myself, Dan, and Chris, who cooks with Dan.
Oh, sure.
Maybe some others.
Big Ugly.
Big Ugly. Maybe some other of those guys. I'm not sure yet. I haven't heard. So while one team is up doing something, the other team can be cruising the crowd and putting some hands on. And we're also working it out to where we'll have circuit camera TV situation set up just in case. You know, I just want to make sure everybody can see everything.
No, that sounds good. And I'll be honest, Rub, it's one of those that I'm looking at and thinking, yeah, I went to your first class, but I'm sure a lot's changed since I went. And obviously, you're going to be giving up those secrets. Dan's going to be talking a lot of KCBS stuff. I'll tell you, don't be surprised if you don't see my name show up on that thing here about mid-January. Because,
you know, I'm kind of hoping that the Florida guys stay away. Yeah, I'm not.
Well, no.
I don't mind. Well, I just don't mind if you guys don't come, because I'm afraid what's going to happen when all this great information floods the talent pool. It's going to get super difficult.
So how are you guys? How are you guys splitting up the class? Are you splitting up categories, kind of like Joe and Ryan do from on the Corn Fed, or both of you going to teach the? I mean, how's it going to go?
We're both doing all four.
Wow.
You know, we're going to
so
be
really
up there.
It's two classes for the price of one.
Yeah. And, you know, we'll be speaking quickly, and we haven't exactly worked out the details, but I kind of see us being at a large table right next to each other. And, you know, maybe I show how I trim my chicken. He shows any differences.
Yeah.
And, you know, we bring in the other guys to help trim out some more chicken, and if somebody in the class wants to come up and trim chicken, you know, like we did with the other
yep.
class, we can do that. I kind of see myself giving my talk on what I'm looking for, and, you know, I'm sure we're pretty similar in a lot of stuff, and he'll interject, you know, like, I look at that, but I also look at this. So it'll be, you know, I think we're going to feed off of each other, have some good friendly banter and jabs going back and forth, but I think the amount of information is going to be phenomenal. You know, if you stop and look at it, I've been thinking about it a couple of different ways. We're both, well, after the rankings get updated, we'll both be two top 10 cooks or teams, and
yep.
then I think Dan's probably also at 4 or 5 for next year.
Yeah, he's close,
so,
yeah.
You know, two teams cooking teaching a class where both have earned automatic invitations to the Jack. That's got to be saying something anyway. And
yeah.
It looks like, you know, God willing, we'll both try to earn our way in again this year.
Sure.
Based on
your results in the first half of the Jack year, you've got plenty of contests to go, and to think that both of you won't win two or three more, you know, is probably not a good bet to make. So
I'm going to drive out to some random parking lot this Friday and just set up and start cooking and pretend like I'm at a contest.
just to stay in touch.
Just keep it going.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Absolutely. Rob, the other one I wanted you to hit on is for the folks that are listening that aren't local, is the what you're doing up there in Chicago.
Yeah, that one's that's going to be exciting. I'm looking forward to that. A guy from up in that area contacted me and asked if I ever thought about traveling and doing a class, and I've actually put that out there on my blog before that, you know, if you help spearhead it and round up the students, I'd love to travel out to your area and put on a class. And this guy has a lot of experience in doing just that, you know, with logistics and organizing things, and he got on the ball, and he's got me set up. We're teaming up with Cabela's up there in the Chicago area, and Cabela's is giving us a classroom to use. They're setting us up in the parking lot with everything we need out there. We'll be showcasing a couple of their products, you know, just to, you know, show how they could fit in, but you know, don't be confused. It's going to be 100% Swamp Boys class, and it's not going to be a Cabela's sellout thing.
Yeah.
It'll be my class, but I'm going to, you know, recognize them as well for the help they're giving. And, you know, ultimately, I'd love to see something with myself and Cabela's work out for going national, you know, doing something. I'm going to see if I can't get up there a couple of days early and maybe offer them a rib or a chicken class or something.
Sure. No. And I agree with it. And, you know, me and you have talked about it privately. And then when I had Lucas on a couple of weeks ago and we were talking about sponsorship deals, I think that'd be a great fit for you. So I'd love to see that work out. Because I think it also just helps with bringing that competition barbecue to the masses, you know?
Sure. I mean, it, you know, when you get right down to it, it's not that hard to cook incredible quality food for your family, you know, barbecuing. It's not that much different than, that much more effort than the average Joe Blow puts on to go burn some chickens.
Absolutely. So, I totally agree with you. Well, Rob, on the way out, I know you got a couple sponsors you want to hit, and anything else before we wrap this up and go over to J.D. McGee from Wine Country Q.
Yeah, I've had a great year. I've had Candy Sue with Barbecuers Delight has just done fantastic for me. Of course, Yoder Smokers, I mean, from the first contest I cooked with those was the third place out of 69, and it's you know, it's been fantastic ever since. A lot of great support there. Of course, Butchers has been a sponsor of mine for years now, and David's had a phenomenal year, and it's, you know, he's not just sitting back on his great products. He's always out there improving and offering new stuff. That's fantastic. And Three Eyes Barbecue, what can you say?
No, I mean, those guys are sick.
They've got a fantastic product, and he's just a great guy. Gotta love him.
Well, I'm going to tell you what, Rob. It's probably not in the too distant future, but every time I get you on here, I feel like I don't spend enough time with you. And we may just do a dang 2-hour show one night, about an hour and a half when we get it down to basics. But it's always good to have you on, brother. I enjoy it, and wish you all the best. And we will see you at Jim McCoy's event here in the second week of January.
Definitely. Thank you so much for having me, Chad. I love
Absolutely.
It, man. This is just feel like we're sitting around the fire BSing.
Absolutely, man, absolutely. And if I don't talk to you and the family, Merry Christmas.
Thanks, brother. You too. Merry Christmas.
All right, brother.
Good night.
All right, bye-bye. All right, guys. Doug Francis has called it out in chat. I'm going to have to take about 30 seconds to get the dog back where he needs to be, and then I'll be coming back to you. So hold on 1 second. All right, guys, thank you for holding on for a second. We're going to pull down Thunderstruck, which is a great freaking tune, and we're going to go over to J.D. McGee, Wine Country Q. J.D., what's going on, brother?
Hey, Chad, how are you, man?
Well, I'm doing well, man. First, I want to be apologetic on getting to you so late. I get Rub on here, and we just get to chit-chatting, man. And I apologize.
No worries, my friend. No worries.
So, hey, good to have you on the show tonight for the first time. Obviously, we have we've crossed paths a couple times out in Vegas. Haven't had a chance to really kind of ever sit down and talk. So this is kind of the first time of me kind of getting to know you and what you guys do, you and your wife over there at Wine Country Q. And I always thought it would be something interesting because, the you know, obviously we have flavor profiles all over the country that are different, but we also have sanctioning bodies that are a little bit different. And I've in the past read through the Pacific Northwest Barbecue Association's kind of rules, and I know you guys do some KCBS events, et cetera, up there in the region, but I just was looking forward to having you on the show and talking about that tonight. And so I want to let the listeners know, we talked about it earlier, is, you know, you guys are 2011 and 2012 Team of the Year for the Pacific Northwest Barbecue Association. Congratulations on that.
Thanks, Chad. Appreciate it. It's been a whirlwind, you know. It's one of those things where you just, you know, like everybody, you go out and cook, and you hope to get a call, and the level of talent that you're cooking against is pretty doggone good up here, you know. And sometimes it just works out, and at the end of the year, you got a, you know, a few more walks, a few more ribbons, and a trophy or two than the other guys, and you end up with a big check at the end of the year.
Absolutely. And oh, so you guys do offer a check in the Pacific Northwest Barbecue Association for Team of the Year?
We do. Last couple of years, we got a check, and you know, we got a couple of plaques and a pretty nice award. So, you know, we get the individual, the overall meat, you know, for pork butt, brisket, chicken, and ribs, the overall winner of that. We have a total points champion that's awarded, and then there's also the Team of the Year trophy. So, yeah, you do get a little chunk of change for your efforts.
Well, that is nice, because the Florida Barbecue Association has been around for a while, and the Team of the Year gets a trophy and a big old pat on the back. So, you know, and it's been talked about, you know, here and there, and I love FBA. I bleed FBA. But there's some things we could get better at, and I think that's one of them. And to hear another, you know, non-large sanctioning body, and when I say that, I mean not KCBS, that offers a Team of the Year payout, that's good to hear. I appreciate you sharing that with us.
Yeah, it is. You know, it's a nice, and also for the teams that you know, get the draw to the jack, they also give us a little traveling money too. So it's a nice gesture. They. PNWBA is an amazing organization. They're just a bunch of good folks, you know. They've been around. We're actually the second oldest organization next to KCBS, believe it or not.
Wow, that is very impressive.
Yeah, it's been around a while. You know, we're just kind of up here in the left corner of the world, and, you know, nobody pays a whole lot of attention to us, but we got some good cooks, you know. We're all over the Jack and the Royal and Memphis in May, and, you know, we're in Vegas a lot. So, you know, we got to get out of this dreary wet somehow or another.
Well, I'll tell you what, I got to come up there and cook a contest one day. I'd love to. Is there any near? I've got a guy that I used to work with that was a dear friend of mine, and we talk all the time. Is there any contests that are close to Seattle?
Oh yeah. There's actually a couple of KCBS contests. One is up in Suquamish. It's in the Polesbo area. It's about,
yeah.
Oh, I can't remember. Oh, I guess it's maybe about 20, 30 minutes north of Tacoma. But just a wonderful event. We cooked the second year. The first year we didn't cook. We cooked it this year. And it's right on the bay. It's just absolutely beautiful. It's a good, you know, some good payouts. Plenty of room to spread out. It's right near the casino. And, you know, they do a good job with it up there. They're looking to expand this year. And we're seeing a lot more KCBS up here. You know, it's
well,
not just, go ahead.
No, well, that's a good point you brought up. So, unlike, and I see Mike Terry, I believe, is in chat from Great Lakes Barbecue, Richard Parker is from Great Lakes Barbecue Association. So, I believe, like, the FBA and the Pacific Northwest Barbecue Association both operate. We sanction our own events, correct?
That's correct.
Whereas I believe, like, Great Lakes Barbecue Association has their own association, but they are all KCBS organized events. And And I think that's something to make sure the listeners understand is, and there's nothing wrong with that. I have a lot of friends in the Great Lakes Barbecue Association, which is good folks, super cool. But you've got to understand that the things that it takes an association or a sanctioning body to do that are above and beyond of an association that recognizes another sanctioning body. Would you agree, JD?
I would certainly agree. Another example would be the California Barbecue Association. They are a non-sanctioning body, and they use KCBS predominantly, but they have used PNWBA on occasion as well.
That's a very good point, a very good point. And I'm not saying anything's better than the other. The one thing I'm amazed at is that there, you know, is not almost an annual three-day weekend where – you know, and if KCBS, because they're the big guys, if they wanted to participate or not, they could. But I'm thinking, you know, the FBA, the Pacific Northwest Barbecue Association, IBCA, some of the bigger other Texas sanctioning bodies, California Barbecue Association, Great Lakes Barbecue Association, don't get together somewhere in the middle of the country and just talk about their year, what they learned, what, you know, and obviously guys are always going to keep things a little unique to their sanctioning body. But wouldn't it just be nice to have that kind of, you know, metal on metal makes things sharper, you know, where you're just bouncing ideas off of each other, you have a nice structured agenda. But not only that, but just the networking and hearing about, hey, what's the top five things that you guys ran across this year that you never thought you'd see or that required you to call an emergency BOD meeting? Those kind of things. So guess what? If one of the other sanctioning bodies ever gets into that issue, well, they know. Well, here's how these guys handled it. I just don't understand when we're all supposed to be working towards the same goal of making competition barbecue a household name, and I think we're getting closer there every year. It just seems like there should be more collaboration amongst guys just sharing experiences. Am I too off point with that?
No. I don't think so. I think you're more of a traditional barbecue association because, you know, you are Florida and you are the southern state. Pacific Northwest, traditionally, you know, we don't have the history of barbecue up here unless, you know, it's Alder smoked salmon, and then we can knock it out of the park. But I think the main thing I would like to see is, like you said, maybe some type of a mini convention that would draw all of the sanctioning bodies or representatives from all the sanctioning bodies together and bounce ideas off each other and say, hey, this is what we do. You know, this is our differences. And, you know, that way, just to promote barbecue in general, you know, as a whole, and not just, you know, KCBS, because they are the largest. They are
absolutely
the most recognized.
Well, and there's different ways of marketing competition barbecue in our part of the country and in your part of the country. To you do use smoked salmon and those things as kind of the quote unquote gateway drug to get people into the competition arena. You bring them in and you do a smoked salmon and something else that makes sense up their backyard contest, but then they see you guys doing the four meats.
Oh, yeah.
And they're hanging around and they go, huh, man, this seems kind of cool. And look at all these guys. They're competing against each other, but they're actually all friends and hanging out. And maybe this is something I want to be a part of. Because
that's exactly it. You know, we're more of a family up here than anything else, believe it or not. Because, you know, we have about, I think it's about 1,200 members. I think 1,155 at last count. And I don't really know how many teams exactly. I'd say maybe 200 or 300. If, you know, some of our PNWBA folks are here listening, they might be able to chime in. But there's kind of a core group that kind of travels around together, and you see them at all the competitions that you see. And you know, it's gone beyond, you know. Well, we don't know these people. We know them. We know their kids. We know their grandkids.
Yep.
We know their neighbors, their cousins, their uncles, you know, and you get to know these people as family, and when a tragedy strikes with these people or something happens to one of these members, buddy, I tell you, you've got 20 people jumping in to help out just that quick. So we're more of a family here because we are a small community. We travel pretty much all the same circles, which is probably very similar to you and your association as well.
Absolutely. No, I totally agree. And you have those folks that go out and run the KCBS circuit 100%. But I feel like I'm glad I was kind of raised in the FBA because it's given me that sense of community that really got me charged on competition barbecue. And I've been to some KCBS contests where, I'll tell you a few. I mean, besides, when we went up to Michigan, flew up there, had a sponsor bring in equipment for us, blah, blah, blah. And we talked to maybe it was a Ronnie Cates event. There was 40 teams and probably three of them talked to us.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Terry and those guys that are in the Great Lakes Barbecue Association talked to us. Ford Allison from Great Lakes Barbecue Feed Company talked to us.
Wow.
Good guy. Ford's awesome. And then obviously DivaQ was up there, and I knew Diva beforehand. But it can come off as very, and I'm sitting there, and it was one of the things I was cooking that with my team member Matt Van, and we were riding back to the airport, and I said, you know what, Matt? I said, here's what I really loved about the FBA is, at that point in time that they just saw a team that's and maybe it's because it's a Ronnie Cates event, and they go, well, nobody around here is a rookie. So, everybody's competition. But I just kind of thought that maybe some of those more seasoned KCBS guys would have went, hey, man, seen you on Facebook or seen you on Twitter, and good to see you cooking more KCBS this year. Welcome to the club. If you need anything, let us know. Not a one of them. And that was just, to me, kind of weird because I know, myself being more into the long-term FBA club now and team owning those guys, even when you take the longer-term guys out of it, like Big Papa's and Rob Bagby, all guys that have done things very well on a national level, they'll go over and see, a couple old boys, three deep from the local city cooking in backyard and see them, stumbling around and go, hey, man, what are you trying to do? Can I help you with anything? And that goes a long, long way. And I think I just take it seriously because we were a team that was bred out of the backyard. We started this thing just as a 4 to 6 times a year we were going to get together because in our current jobs we just travel too much.
Yeah.
And now it's turned into our hobby, our obsession. And that's mainly because of two things, the competition and the camaraderie. That's it.
Yeah, exactly. Same here. I started this about 5 years ago because I couldn't find a decent rack of ribs up here.
So you said, well, hell, if I can't find one, I'll make it myself.
Well, I grew up in Middle Tennessee as a kid, and I jumped right out of high school into the Navy. I stayed in the Navy for 20 years. So when my wife and I settled up here in the Northwest, I never was a real big fanatic for barbecue, but every now and then I got a good pulled pork sandwich or a good rack of ribs.
Yeah.
And, there for a while, we were out about every weekend looking for something decent. And, about 5 years ago, she got tired of me, hitting barbecue joints every weekend. She goes, you're not going to find anything up here like you're used to. Just do it yourself.
So she put you to work.
Yep, she had no idea what she had unleashed right then and there.
That is too funny. So when you started out, what pit did you start out on?
I started out with a WSM, just an 18-inch bullet, and I've been cooking on them ever since. I've run the whole gamut. I started out on the Virtual Weber bulletin board, Chris Allingham's site, and picked up some tips and tricks there, and I met a local guy here, Brian Moriarty, who was cooking a lot longer than I was, and he invited me over to his son's fraternity party about 4 or 5 years ago. And he was cooking on drum smokers and bullets and big green eggs, and I'd never seen anything like it. So I walked over there, and, you know, everybody was lined up waiting to eat. He had meat flying off of everything, and I was hooked. Hook, line, and sinker right there. And then I just started building drum smokers and, you know, cruising Craigslist for all this, you know, scrap stuff you can use to put an ugly drum smoker together with.
Yep.
So, you know, I went through, I don't know how many dozen of those things, just playing with them and whatnot. But I basically just settled in and did my first competition, I think it was in 2009. And then Brian and I teamed up in 2010. We formed a team called Left Hand Smoke, and we actually did very well that year. We actually got an invitation to the Jack. So we had a good team, and then we did really well. And then, you know, my wife had been kind of hanging back in the background, you know, and she's always been curious and interested, would come out to support our events, but never really a part of the team. You know, Brian and I would do our thing, and then we'd come back, and she'd, you know, be all excited because we'd do well. And then she started playing with, you know, rubs, and we talking and sauces and this, that, and the other. And so we teamed up the next year and just changed our flavor profiles pretty much completely. And this was 2011. And we did really well, 2011 and 2012. So I nicknamed her Taste Bud. And it kind of stuck because she really has a good palate. We did the taste testing for a friend of mine, Steph Franklin, Simply Marvelous Rub.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He's got a beautiful line of products.
Yeah, Steph's got some good stuff. But he would send up some of the prototypes, and he'd say, here, have taste, bud. Tell me what you think about this. So that was kind of fun.
I'll tell you what, if you put me on an island and I could only have one Simply Marvelous Rub, it would be that cherry rub.
That cherry's good. My favorite's a pecan.
I'll tell you what, I'll give you a funny story. I cooked a contest up in the Northeast. Because my wife is from the Northeast, and her parents have a vacation home up there. And so it just worked out for me. I flew in from work during the week up into the Northeast, went over and cooked in Rhode Island. And I brought all my competition rubs back with me and back to the beach house there in New Hampshire. And so her little brother, 8 years old, he's out there, and we got a GMG going, and we're cooking dinner the next day for everybody. And he goes, we're cooking ribs. And he said, Chetty, that rub looks really good through that bottle. And I was like, well, what makes it look better to you than anything else? He goes, it kind of looks sugary, but it's dark. He goes, can I taste it? And I was like, well, bud, you're going to taste it when we pull the ribs off. He goes, no, I want to taste it. And I said, sure. You know, and I did what pit masters do, right? You dump a little bit in his palm, and he gives it the old pit master lick. And he goes, man, that's really good. So I go to tend to my ribs. I go downstairs to the basement, get a couple of beers, come back up. JD, he had ate out of his palm about a sixth of that damn bottle, a rub.
Oh my God!
And I said, Christian, I said, bro, you've got to stop. I said, as good as that stuff is, you're gonna have a real tummy ache here in a bit, brother. You got to slow her down and put her in neutral. He's like,
yeah.
It's so good, and I would like
funny.
To say, I don't know that I'd ever use it as like a base rub or my main rub, but as a complimentary rub, it is. It just gives you that, as competition cooks, we're always looking to layer flavor.
You betcha.
And that is one of those that when you bite into it, after all said and done, you go, man, it's just another little complex there that complements it. That is that is real nice.
Yeah, here's a good combination for Simply Marvelous is put a layer down to Seasonal, which is basically like it's like seasoned salt. And then hit it with some pecan or cherry, and then top it off with a little Sweet Seduction. There you go.
Well,
there's your Simply Marvelous tip of the day.
Well, you're walking into a going into next year. You're walking into having all kinds of things in your arsenal, because now Simply Marvelous is exclusive on Big Papa Smokers, and you're sponsored by Big Papa Smokers, and they've got a whole other line of stuff theirself. That's that's done happening.
I tell you, Ron, Taste Bud's going to be busy this off season.
Yeah, exactly.
But I actually do a little class a couple, three times a year. I call it my hot and fast cooking class. Well, I got one this Sunday, and the last couple of times we've been using steps rub.
Before you get into that too far, JD, the question I have for you is, did you start out low and slow?
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah, when I first started, I had one bullet. I actually had two bullets when I did my first competition.
Okay.
And I was wired to the gills. If I had a temperature fluctuation of 5 degrees, I had a bell ringing on me. And I tell you, I probably cooked two or three competitions low and slow overnight, just trying to, you know, bullets are pretty easy to control, except when it's windy and rainy and breezy,
yeah,
and temperatures are flying all over the place, you know. And so I did, and I didn't get any sleep for a long time. And I said, you know, there's got to be a better way. So I started reading on the Breslin when I first heard about it. It might have been the Virtual Weber Bulletin about the, you know, hot and fast or quick cook. Well, and a lot of folks up here call it quick cooking, and it's been around a long time. It's just I never applied the technique. And so I said, you know, cooking a brisket and a pork butt in 4 to 6 hours as opposed to 12 to 16 hours, that sounds like a pretty good idea.
That sounds cool to me.
So I started messing with it. And I started cooking, like, you know, briskets, because pork butt was a little easier. Oh, my wife just came home. My dog was banging. I was wondering, okay, I'm good. And I started cooking briskets to get, because pork butt was a lot more forgiving. But brisket, if you don't get it in a window, then you got shoe leather.
Yep.
And it got to the point where my wife said, no more. You can't do it. It, you know, this is horrible. Don't cook anymore this way. You just can't do it. And I just wouldn't give up. And the first time I nailed the brisket on the hot and fast, and she tasted it, it was like butter. And she, you know, she finally said, "All right, let's go."
Wow.
So it's that's what I teach. You know, I don't teach a full class. I just teach, you know, a maximum of 8 people out of my kitchen or out of our living room here, and I teach them a technique. You know, I mean, yeah, it doesn't matter what you're cooking on. It really doesn't matter what temperature you're cooking on. What I teach is to cook to steel, not to temperature.
So,
because, Grubb was talking about earlier, it drove him crazy when people in his class were asking, how long and how hot? You know, what temperature is this going to be when it's done? How long is it going to take? Well, you know, the old saying, it's done when it's done.
Yep.
So I teach the students to cook to steel. And we're out there poking. You know, I use a thermopen for lack of any, you know, better. You can use whatever probe you want.
Yeah,
I use
that's the one, yeah.
And we go out, and I said, hey, guys, it's time to poke some meat. Because I want them to experience the cooking experience and get the feel of how the meat is progressing.
Absolutely.
You know, like when it's, you know, when you're about 160 and you're going to foil, it's going to feel different. And then when you're, you know, if you're cooking, you know, for a combo box on your money muscle and you're pulled and you chunks and whatnot, if you're doing a combo pork box, you want the money muscle because you want to pull that butt if you're going to do a slice, and then you're going to let the other one go a little deeper to get some nice shred because, you know, you can't separate the muscle. So, and then when the brisket is the one that I get the most eyebrows raised is when, you know, they're probing and they're probing and they're probing, and then boom, they hit that butter. You know, it's like right before butter. My wife refers to it as cooking pasta when the brisket is al dente. That's the way she sees it. And then that's when you pull it. And it's really neat to see the light bulbs come on. It's like, whoa, that's it.
Exactly. JD, can you go another 5 or 10 minutes late with me after
show
wraps up?
I'm not doing anything. You betcha. I'm just sitting here chatting.
All right, awesome. Guys, we are about 30 seconds out from the live feed cutting out. So want to thank you guys again for listening. We'll be back next week. We'll have another strong show. Spread the word. Appreciate all you guys have done for us. And we will be, if you want to, go over to iTunes tomorrow or just come back here to Blog Talk Radio, pull it up, fast forward to the 2-hour mark, and come back and hear how me and JD are going to wrap this bad boy up. So until next week, keep the pit lit. We are now officially after hours, JD.
No worries.
Hey, and I beat him by 10 seconds. I like that.
You got so, 3 seconds, 2, 1. I was watching your countdown there, but anyway, you're out.
Yeah, exactly. So the point that you were bringing up, which is kind of interesting to me, is, you know, I've always told people, because I do a lot of backyard classes here in the area, and I love it because you'll have guys that just come up and they say, man, I don't know anything about brisket. I don't know what to do with it, this or that. And yeah, I'm not going to roll out a full, you know, hey, I like to age my stuff 45 days. And, you know what I mean? They're going to sit there and go, okay, that's a little much for me, bro. But so, you know, we keep it at the backyard level. If a guy wants to go pick up a Sam's Club brisket off the shelf, what can you do with it?
And exactly.
When you do backyard classes like that, you get a lot of questions about the TV shows. Obviously, since I've been on Chopped, I get a lot of questions about, do I really know how to cook beef ribs? I do. I just don't know how to do them in 20 minutes.
No.
but on top of that, you'll get, you know, well, hey, Myron, I've heard Myron talk numerous times that, you know, he cooks hot and fast. What does that mean? And so I'll explain to him hot and fast. And the way I explained it, I said, look, I said, both tactics and techniques can win. I said, to me, and correct me if I'm wrong, because you know more about it than I do. When you go low and slow, you've got a bigger area of a bigger, for us techies, a bigger confidence interval.
Yep.
You know, whereas when you're hot and fast, you have a smaller one. But for having that smaller, you know, confidence interval, you have saved yourself a bunch of time and you're much more focused. So you
exactly.
can say, for me, that's put one on, and it's kind of the whole reason behind why I cook on pellets and why with my cousin I've designed a line of charcoal and wood cookers that are insulated with a draft on board, the whole nine yards, to be able to stay low and slow, but kind of get that hot and fast rest, if you will be. But would you say with the initial analogy I'm correct that just that confidence interval drops a little bit when you're hot and fast compared to low and slow?
I think it does because you have a larger area for larger window, you know, for error. That, you know, if you miss it a half an hour, an hour on a pork butt at low and slow, it's really not going to make a hoot. And the same with a brisket. But if you let a hot and fast brisket go a half an hour, 45 minutes longer than the window you should pull it, you're getting shoe leather or you're getting pot roast.
Right. No, yeah.
You know, it's one of those things that you just – and the main thing I like about it is because it does go quick and it focuses – it forces you to stay focused on the meat. I mean, my pork butts, they'll pop in about 5.5 hours. And I usually cook between 6 and 8 pound butts. And I cook 2 butts.
And
my brisket,
And what temperature are you messing around between?
We're looking about 325 to 350 for butts and brisket.
Okay. So you're not super hot like Myron gets sometimes. I mean, I've watched Myron roll in and get up to 4, 4.25. And get there late and go 450 to 475.
I know. It's nuts.
But the other thing I say about that is pay attention to that man's cooker. There's a reason he feeds that thing 20, 25, 30 gallons of water.
Yeah.
And that's because truly he's cooking with the steam, not the pure heat like you are at 325, 350 with a WSM.
Yep.
So it's all relative. Is he cooking super hot? Yes. Is he introducing a ton of moisture in the process?
Yep.
Yes. So it's all about those things that sometimes guys don't pick up on. And so I'll see some guy with a pellet grill at 425 going, you know, hey, I'm trying this out, and I'm like, well, it's probably not going to go real well. You know, they're not built for this.
Actually, I picked up a Tulip Pooper this year. I have a Mac One Star General.
And what do you do on a chicken?
You know, it's weird because I was talking with Matt Dalton, Left
yeah.
Coast Q, down in Vegas, the World Food
yeah.
Championship. And he gave me some good pointers of kind of a modified hot and fast that you can do on a pellet pooper. Now,
nice.
I don't know if you're familiar with the Mac. I'm not sure what you cook on.
I cook on a Green Mountain Grill, but I am familiar with the Macs.
Oh, okay. It's kind of, you know, smoke setting, and he does a smoke setting for 2 hours, and then kicks it up to 300 until the bark is set, and then he foils it. So I'm going to play around with it and just see what I can get and see how it works, because he's, you know, he was cooking on, he had a 2-star at in Vegas he was cooking on. I talked
and they did
I,
well.
I before, too. And, yeah, and then foil, and then, you know, do his thing. But I'm kind of interested to start on it and just see. And if nothing else, because the Mac has a programmable controller on it, you know, I can play around with some settings. And if I want to, I can go back low and slow.
Yep.
But the level of competition up here in the Northwest is rising. And so this year is going to be a lot tougher than the last couple of years for us to get walks and get calls and get the GCs that we've done. So I'm not sure if I'm going to go back to low and slow. I might go back to a modified low and slow, because I think what I'm missing in the hot and fast is might be a little bit of a texture issue. I'm thinking I want a little more bark, a little deeper bark, a little heavier bark, and maybe a little more smoke. I mean, I can get a good smoke, but I'm thinking I might need to let it maybe a modified low and slow or something. I don't know. We're going to play with something in the off season anyway, see what we come up with.
Well, and that's what it's all about. And for us, our off season is I'm cooking second weekend of January, so I've got about 3-4 more weeks to play around. And hey, I'm rubbing it in because I'm sure you wish you had that same problem, right?
Yeah, I was actually stationed in Northwest Florida for 8 years in Pensacola, so
up there in Tyndall.
What's that?
Tyndall Air Force Base.
No, Naval Air Station, Pensacola.
Yeah, my wife's sister plays softball at University of West Florida.
Okay.
So we make the trip to Pensacola pretty regular. So
we used to call it L.A. Lower Alabama.
Yeah, it is. It is. But I'll tell you what, the beaches there are beautiful.
Oh man, yeah, they are. They are amazing. That's for sure.
So, let's talk for a second about, if you don't mind. Like I said, the two times I've seen you, and we've briefly talked in passing. We'll obviously talk more at a contest after this.
Sure.
Is you know I've seen you both at Ronnie Cates events, and what I'm going to say is obviously I traveled all the way across the country to go cook a Ronnie Cates event. And it's because I believe in that guy. And I believe what he's doing. He's trying to get us into the right places with the right payouts to make competition barbecue go to the next level.
Right.
But for you, it's a little more, I shouldn't say local, because it's still a hell of a jaunt. Do you kind of feel that same reasoning behind why you support Cates events? Or is it just, hey, it's not too far away, and I like the payouts?
Well, yeah, the payouts are there. The one thing my wife and I have always loved to do is travel, whether it be, you know, Europe. You know, we've done probably about a half a dozen vacations in Europe, and then just the best part of competition barbecue to me and to us is traveling and meeting people. You know, from all over
yes.
the states. I mean, and it's just amazing that the people that you meet and get to know in the span of 2 days. Perfect example in Vegas this last time at the World Food Championships. Darren Worth,
yeah,
Worth was right behind
Iowa Smoky D's, yeah.
Iowa Smoky D's. talked with him a little bit, and then, you know, before I know, he's like, hey, if you ever want to come into Des Moines and cook a contest, fly in. We'll set you up. And, like, I mean, this is a person I've known less than 2 days. And he says, yeah, fly in. We'll set you up. That's the hospitality you get from just barbecue people in general for the most part. So,
no.
For one, to get back to your question, though, you know, for Ronnie Cates events, we don't really look at them or we don't really travel to Ronnie events specifically. But Vegas is only 2 days from here, two-day drive for us. And Ronna's, my wife's family, is from Southern California. And so they get to come and hang out. I mean, plus his is pretty doggone good, too. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, we're the first one we did was the AC, not the ACM, but
the one of the Orleans, the USA
the,
Barbecue
no,
Championship.
Yeah, that one. And we actually got a couple of walks in our pork, so we were pretty happy about that. And then we beat Johnny Trigg with his own brisket. We took his class three a couple of years ago. So that was kind of fun.
Hey, and you know what? That's what classes are about, JD. It's about going, picking up some techniques, and making it your own.
That's
you know what I'm saying?
Picking up nuggets.
Yes. And Mike Richter from Chick, Swine, and Bovine. Early on into me doing this show, I had Mike on for... Mike was my only guest. We went an hour and a half.
I don't doubt it. You can get talking barbecue with a perfect stranger, and the next thing you know, you cross paths with somebody somewhere along the way.
There's two guys that I brought on and carried a whole show with, and that is Chris Hart and Mike Richter.
Yeah.
And Mike brought it up as, Chad, it's continuing education.
It is.
He said, when you spend the money that we spend on our hobby, I consider it a profession to most folks. You know, but because you know, and that's what I've always said to sponsors is, you don't realize these guys that are really competition barbecue people, we have a rather high level of discretionary income. Because if you don't, you couldn't do it.
No.
And, you know, I don't care how good you are. You know what I mean? Yeah, you can go out and get some prize money this week. Well, you could go dry for 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now you're out, depending on how far you traveled, you could be out $3,000 to $5,000.
Exactly. Easy.
Right? And so like Mike said, he goes, if I spend $500 going to Scotty Johnson's class and I get one call, it's paid for itself.
Yep. Paid for itself right there. You got that right.
Well, that's what I say. We went to Rub's class, and we were positive our next contest the weekend after. We were to the good by the time our rib call was done. And it's like, man, how wouldn't you do that, you know? And the same way we signed up for down here in the South, Danny Kugel from Pitbulls Up in Smoke. He's got an online class.
Yeah, I've been hearing some about some of the online classes. I'm kind of all over the brethren, and I tell you what, there's so many classes out there this off season from some really heavy hitters.
There are
that you just don't know which way to go. You know, if you were going to pick one, you could just throw a rock and you know hit any one of them, and you'd be picking up some really good information.
I'll tell you what, I would be surprised. I think I may do three classes next year. And so I've already been to Rub's class. I'm a subscriber to Danny's class over at Pitbulls BarbecueSchool.com. And I'll tell you what, we made our money back on his class in our first contest. But the three that are on my radar is I've never been to Scotty's. And not only is Scotty and Mike always comes in from QAL, not only are they, you know, great cooks, but I mean, how can you not want to throw money at that charity? You know, I mean, because you know, cancer does suck. I mean, it's bad, and what Scotty's done with that foundation is awesome.
It's amazing. So, I mean, I talked with Scotty, you know, via private message on occasion, and I actually send a donation to his foundation every year. Specifically for this event, because my wife is a breast cancer survivor going on 20
years.
So that was near and dear to my heart.
No. Yeah. It's very near and dear to your heart when you put it that way.
Pretty much.
The other one, I would love to go to Tippecanoe's and Ryan Neustrad's class, the Corn Fed class.
Yeah, that's going to be a good one. That's going to be right there up at the same level as Rubs and Dan's.
That's my other one is Rub and Dan's. That's going to be, I mean, and I have a hard time not justifying going because it's 30 minutes from my house. and Rub doesn't know this yet, but because of this internet radio show, I'm going to hit him up for a media discount.
He was hemming and hawing. Well, no, it wasn't Rub, it was your first guest. He was kind of hemming and hawing about that discount, but he did you an underhanded okay.
Jim. Yeah, well, I was already signed up for Jim, so I wasn't too worried about the discount. I was trying to help my buddies out with that one.
I hear you.
But I think those are three of the classes. And I'll tell you what, if I ever found myself out on the West Coast, I'd like to, because, you know, I'll tell you right now, JD, if I went to your class, would I say that I would move right over to Hot and Fast? I don't know that I would.
No.
I don't
try to force people to do that either. You know, it's like, this is how I cook. This is just my technique.
Yeah.
You know, this is how I cook pork butts and briskets. The main thing I'm teaching is the texture.
Yes.
Is learning to cook to feel instead of temperature probes and time and temp, so to speak. So it doesn't matter if you're cooking 225 or 425. The texture is still going
to
be the same.
Right. You get there in 5.5 hours. I get there in 9 to 10 hours.
Exactly.
I go
to the hotel and sleep.
Right.
Before I fire a pit.
Yeah. Exactly. No, I will tell you what. I will tell on me right now. The first contest I ever went and cooked was me and my buddies, and we were cooking this huge 4-foot by 4-foot circular smoker. It's a beast. I mean, it's built for catering. First contest, amateur division. And we, you know, we sit out there all night and babysit this thing. And you got to throw a ton of fuel on it.
Oh, yeah.
And so we watch these guys roll up at 4 a.m. Mount Dora Barbecue, Larry, rolls up at 4 a.m. I'm like, man, these guys are going to get their ass kicked. Now, we're in amateur division. They're in pro. I think Larry took 2 firsts, a third, and like a seventh, and won the whole contest. And I was like, whoa. I walked up to him afterwards. I was like, hey, dude, you got to explain this to me. I was like, I've been brought up around these parts where you got to cook barbecue just low and slow. He goes, I went to Myron's class 6 months ago, and all that shit changed. And I went,
I've never taken Myron's class. I've taken 2 classes. My first one was Paul Kirk. I took his class about 5 years ago. And, it was a basic barbecue class. And then a couple of years ago, we went down, and when Big Papa Surly first hosted John Trigg's class down in Coachella, and we went down there and took that. And I tell you what, that Johnny's class changed my game. It really,
really
did. Not necessarily for his flavor profiles, because they really don't work that well up here in the Northwest, but just for the techniques that I picked up, or that my wife and I picked up.
Well, and that's what you're looking at. When you go to Rub's class was just a technique class. And you know what? That's the majority of the battle.
Sure
it is. You know, as long as you're not a guy that's throwing on a dusting of cayenne over your chicken, you know, just be reasonable with your – that goes back to what I've talked about with Jimmy Brode on this show before is – cook good average barbecue.
Yep.
Don't be far right. Don't be far left. Cook it well. Make sure it's cooked on point, perfect.
That's it. That's the one thing you can control. And that's the way my wife looked at it when we talk to people. And I'm always talking barbecue with folks wherever we go. And, you know, they say, well, what's it like up in the Northwest? And I said, well, the way we cook is we take a do not offend any judge approach.
Yep.
You know, not too sweet, not too spicy, not too saucy, not too smoky, you know, middle of the road barbecue.
Middle of the road barbecue. That is well said, JD. Well said, brother. Well, man, I've had a great time having you on here, and it's going to be the last time I raise you up because I want to get into the differences between Pacific Northwest Barbecue Association and other sanctioned bodies. We've got another 30 to 45 minutes we could easily carry. So I haven't offended you. You'll be back, right?
Oh, no worries, man. Just give me a yell and be glad to come out and talk. We always love talking barbecue. Not a problem.
Absolutely, man. And before we let you out of here, give us, I mean, we've already hit on it, but give us your sponsors and what you got going on beginning of 2013.
We have three sponsors for the most part. You know, we've got Darian, Kazrabi, Cosmos Q.
Well, we're brothers there, man. Cosmos has supported us since we went pro. They've been cool as hell.
I met Darian in 2010 at the Jack when we first went to the Jack, and we just hit it off. And I was, you know, nobody knew who the heck Left Hand Smoke was, or no one who knew what PNWDA barbecue was all about for the most part. And so I called him up and we talked, and I said, you know, I really like your products, and bingo, he was my first sponsor, and it was just wow, his products have been working for us. And whenever, you know, we get a nice walk, I'd give him props and say, you know, this is Darian's injection. You know, this is what we use here. And then when Steph came on board, he was I knew him from the Barbecue Brethren. And mm-hmm. We went down, he had a barbecue bash, a Brethren bash down at his place. And we hit it off and had a good time. And he was working on some rubs. And like I said, he'd send a couple up and we'd taste test them and give him advice and whatnot. So Steph came on board, and we incorporated some of his rubs into our, you know, our flavor profile. And then when we went and took Johnny Trick class, we kind of hit it off with Sterling, and I've been promoting him in his, Big Papa Smoker site.
Yeah.
Whatnot, and I talked with Sterling in Vegas a few times, and then, you know, PN back and forth on the Brethren and Facebook and whatnot. And he actually invited us to become one of his, or sponsor us. And he's got some good rubs out there that we've been playing with. I'm not sure how they're going to do up here in the Northwest, but we're going to dink around with them in the off season and see what we can roll out here in 2013. But, yeah, I couldn't say anything more about our sponsors and how well they take care of us. Cosmos Q, Simply Marvis Barbecue, Big Papa Smokers. And we just recently did a cook for the troops down at Fort Lewis, the Joint Lewis McCord base down here in Tacoma, Washington. And Cosmo sent up rubs. Steph sent up rubs. We're talking 20 pounds, 25 pounds of rubs here. You know,
yep.
Not cheap. Sterling basically said, anything you want in the Big Papa Smoker store is yours. I'm like, you know, damn. You know,
yep.
But I didn't need every, I didn't, you know, yeah, I wanted everything. But
yeah.
He sent us up some sauces because we had plenty of rubs, you know, from Darian and Steph. They sent us up plenty of rubs. But he sent us up, you know, like 6 gallons of sauce and, you know, 3 boxes of disposable cutting boards and disposable gloves and, you know, just, you know, and that's the kind of guys they are, so.
No, well,
thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
That's just the right way to do things. And they're all very, very good organizations. Very good.
Yeah,
well, hey,
yep.
JD, like I said, we're going to bring you back up here on the pit, and I appreciate you staying after hours with me. And wish you all the success in 2013. And if I don't talk to you before then, Merry Christmas. And
definitely.
We will talk to you soon, brother.
All right. Thanks, Chad.
Thank
Have
you.
Holidays, my friend.
All right, excellent.
Bye-bye.
All right, guys. We had three great guests on tonight. We started out with Jim McCoyne from Cowboys Pig In, Pig Out. We, in the middle phase there, we had Rob Bagby, which is for Swamp Boys Barbecue. And obviously, Rub's coming off a great year. And we talked to him. And then we brought it in way from the Northwest. Northwest Barbecue Association, J.D. McGee, two-time, 2011, 2012, Team of the Year. Great time. And until next week, keep the pit lit. We'll catch you soon.